Hello.
Hi. How the frig are you? Today is the last day of November, and we all know what that means.
You beat me to it.
The holidays right around, you know, what they say.
Almost.
Anyway,
Yesterday,
Robbie was pulling out some obscure George Lopez bleacher bums tape.
Yes, remember? He tracked with that. He's got that kind of memory.
From a very bad ABC made-for-Disney TV movie about 5 years ago.
Right.
And the disc was sitting out today. And really, Mike, I thought in this time of uncertainty in radio and communications, it's a thoughtful holiday tale of what radio should truly be like.
Very good.
Good.
Very good.
A nice way to start today.
Oh, that's good. A story.
Radio show.
Thanks, Mickey. And thank you for joining us here on the wonderful world of Disney.
And enjoy the rest of tonight's presentation of Naughty or Nice. Happy holidays.
You know, I think my grandmother was right, Michael. My ears are bigger.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. Just started. Oh.
So here's the setup.
Mm-hmm.
The very talented George Lopez. Yes.
Give me a break.
He's a shock jock. Mm-hmm.
That is the role he plays.
In Chicago.
What up, Chicago?
Again, we're all going to learn something at the end of this show. This is the energized intro, though.
Downtown Chicago, the captain of cruel, the master of mean, the prince of put down. Here he is. The bleacher bum, Romero.
Get out of here, you bum.
Okay, I'm not even going to waste my time on I told you so's. Embarrassing, pathetic, abusive. Yes, abusive.
Embarrassing.
To the hardworking people of this city who spend their hard-earned dollars.
The bum's lot.
And for what? For a bunch of overpaid, underachieving, spoiled losers?
The Prince of
Michael
Put-Downs.
Michael from Glencoe. Am I right?
Talk fast, you lousy bum.
Michael from Glencoe. Am I right?
Okay,
how many times
right?
Did I tell you geniuses,
turn down your radio?
It's embarrassing.
Mike, right there, let me just say, hello, mirror. Gosh, does that make me feel oogie to hear him yelling, berating one of his callers.
You know how you find that tape?
For not turning the radio down.
You find that tape embarrassing.
He's the prince of put-downs.
The prince of put-downs.
That's right.
The master of one-liners.
Hey, you bum.
Hey, Doc, let me ask you something. Is it possible a guy like me, you know, a radio guy, but, you know, not me, of course, you know, could say a bunch of nice stuff, you know, put out positive vibes? I mean, that couldn't save someone's life, could it? You can tell me I'm crazy at any time and I'll just shut up.
Hank, I don't think you're crazy at all.
Congratulations.
Marcus. Hank's posed a rather interesting question. Can individual A, public persona, affect
See, at this point in the TV show,
by the simple
a little boy, kind of like Tom Gavin, has called up the bleacher, the shock jock, and asked him to be his buddy.
Right. Wrestled with these kinds of questions.
Something like
his
that.
His later work on the evolution of the emotion.
I think we need to define nice.
Define nice? I mean, what's to define? Nice is nice.
Actually, I find nice to be a rather elastic term, if you know what I mean.
Actually, I don't.
Well, what one person considers nice, another person might find offensive.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm confused. Mike, we as broadcasters have so many lessons to learn. Now let's see, as the bum goes back on the air, can he be a nice guy?
Can he?
You're on with the bum.
Hey, can you believe Dion Bailey did it again? My man hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to win the game.
Actually, bum, I'm feeling kind of blue.
Well, then change your shirt, Paul. Does anybody out there want to talk sports?
Anyone?
Okay. I'm sorry. Paul, if you're still listening, call back, okay? You can tell me all about your blues, and I can tell you all about mine.
Boy, where's the energy gone?
Well, Mike, as you're following the show,
change your shirt!
He's a shock jock.
Right.
Then he meets a retarded angel.
Ha-ha!
And he's trying to learn a new way of doing his radio show, and he's finding that going from being the prince of put-downs to giving gardening tips is getting him killed in the ratings.
Hello, Angel Charlie. How
With
are you?
605 stations across North America.
Please welcome the reigning king of syndicated sports radio in his first live Chicago appearance, the Hitman.
Competition brought in for George Lopez.
Oh, the Heatman.
606 stations, but who's counting? Great to be here, man.
And now, Chicago's number one man in the afternoon, the man who's given Mean a whole new meaning, Hank, the Bleacher Bum Ramiro.
He's so mean.
Here he comes. Beware. Beware.
Watch out, stupid listeners.
Embarrassing.
Where our studio audience definitely has a feeling for who's the top dog in Chicago sports radio. But coming to new markets and taking on the number one guy is nothing new to you, Hitman. In fact, you promised to take over top spot within 6 weeks or you'll pull the plug.
Guaranteed.
6 weeks.
Wow. Frank, I'm thinking more like Christmas. That sound about right to you over there, bum?
Not quite. Sorry to disappoint you.
Sounds like we've got ourselves a little challenge, folks.
Because, again, you know, that's how radio goes. When one new disc jockey is brought into the market, they have, like, a meeting, like, at Caesar's Palace, where everybody's sitting up at a table.
They get them up on a stage together.
It's fun. Yeah, and the two of them almost come to blows, like, oh, I tell you, when we get in the ring, I'm going to take your head off.
It's a fabulous opportunity to exchange put-downs. It's a throwdown.
So what happens is the bum, the prince of put-downs,
yes,
he decides he can't do it anymore. He simply cannot call people bums.
Oh. I am so tired of being mean.
He has to change, and look what happens.
In the windy you should see these.
Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on sports radio.
I should say he has to change because his heart is telling him to change.
Right.
This can't be right.
He's changed his ways, and look what's happened to his ratings.
In the windy you should see these.
Traffic and weather every 10 minutes on sports radio,
These numbers can't be right. I can't lose half my audience in 3 days.
Well, you did. And the suits won't stick with sports if the hitman owns drive time. So here's the deal, Hank. Either you go back to your nasty old self, or you're going to Midnight's.
Midnight's.
What's it going
to
be?
What's it going to be?
I can't, Kevin. Not now.
Midnight's, Hank. Midnight's.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, too.
I'm out.
Everyone's sorry.
But, Mike, that's not how the story ends.
No, the story, surprisingly enough, has a very happy ending.
Well, my old slap back.
Too late, my friend. Corporate sent word today. First of the year, we're switching over to easy listening. And we're all out of jobs.
All right, well, so we still got time to change their minds.
Bum, there's nothing I'd like better than to see you back where you belong. You know that.
So what's the problem?
The problem is I needed you to be the nasty guy I brought up here from Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
Guy tear the hitman's heart out to be number one.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, Kevin, I'm that guy, all right? So call corporate and tell them to hold their horses, all right? We can do this.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the bum is back.
Hold your horses.
So he goes back on the air.
I could either.
And the retarded angel kid.
Hello, Charlie.
Calls him up and says, why have you changed your show? And then he has an absolute epiphany and he says, I can't call people bums anymore.
I'm not going to do it. Bring on Midnights.
And then here comes the end of the show.
Bum? Damn.
Hank! There you are. Ratings are through the roof today. I mean, you
today.
Buried the hitman. I just got off of corporate. They want you back. Your old slot. But your way. Sports, self-help, home improvement, gardening, anything you want, Hank. I love you, man.
Corporate, gracias, mi amigo.
Corporate just called. They want you back. Sports, self-help,
gardening.
So, this is funny, then, yeah? Yeah.
This is funny,
Yep, that's a good one.
No. Nothing. Hope you learned something.
Hello!
From a Tuesday
when it comes to dealing with your listeners.
Hello!
Like a kettle in the kitchen.
Learn and listen.
He's mentally retarded.
Feel the steam begin to brew.
From the bum.
And guess who else is here? Jimmy Stewart. Well, I'm Jimmy Stewart.
Hi, Jimmy.
So I'm showing you how to cut apples.
Apples.
very inappropriate, amigo.
Don't get all emotional on our ass here.
Oh, man, now I'm all emotional.
I know you are.
Without your listenership, we'd have to shower in tomato juice.
Being careful, it's very important to me because I have genital herpes.
And I don't.
Uh-huh. Peter North.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. I think he like 10 to 12 times at one point.
Guess how big it is. It's the size of a stick of butter.
Yum, yum.
You can call us.
Let's pick a phone and let's call that hotline today.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Well, what have we here?
Ah, jolly.
We're going to take a shower, both of us.
Cut the jibba-jabba.
All right, here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Just listen, and we're going to break off a little something-something.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Welcome. The show's going to be funny.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Yeah. Make sure everybody's ready here.
I just have to wear a diaper.
Yeah.
That's right, Paula.
It smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Every day.
Hello, how are you doing? Can I tease and please your blank with my tongue and make you blank over and over?
Okay.
I'm not happy.
Of course you're not.
All right, folks. That's all the best we have for you today.
Hey. That's it. Anyway, time to go home.
Just got here.
See you Monday.
So long, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Don and Mike show Friday, the day after yesterday. Phone number, same as it was yesterday, 877-365-3636.
You're on with the bum.
Perfect, you bum. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I listened to you guys for a long time, but, you know, just the constant banging on the fans and putting them down and calling, you know, salt of the earth people.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you banging on people, all, you know, every day, day after day, calling them stupid, you know, stupid listeners.
I mean, guys like
you. Took the butcher knife and I put it up to her neck.
Guys like you would certainly not fit into that category, would they?
I guess not.
So you've waited all this time to be at the head of the line and start our Friday show with something negative.
Well, let me ask you something. Why do you choose to listen then?
I was just kidding around. I love you guys.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
You card.
You incredible, insensitive bastard.
You prankster.
I knew you were kidding because everybody loves us.
Yes, that's true. We are universally loved.
Bye!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
Hi, doing very well. How about you?
Oh, man, just watching the football game last night, man. I think Dallas going to do it all the way. What do you say?
Yeah. Huh?
It's provocative calls.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough when your team loses. Come in here and do a radio show.
That's okay. It's okay. Dallas looked good last night. I was happy the Packers didn't get blown out.
I thought they were going to get blown out, and I thought they hung in there pretty well.
You know, and as much as I love Brett Favre, really, I don't know what happened to anybody who's watched the Packers this year. They have a game plan, and it is short slant passes,
right.
Little flares, little three-yard hitches. Last night, while he was in the game, all he did was what he used to do. Go back, blindfold himself, turn around three times so he makes himself dizzy, and then throw the ball as far as he possibly can.
How scared were the Packers of the Cowboys when you call a flea flicker in the first quarter? How scared are you when you pull that kind of move?
No, you're not scared. You're just letting them know, hey, we play wide open. They also tried an onside kick.
So a botched onside kick. But it was a very, very desperate strategy, it appeared, at the beginning of the game. And then when they brought
the challenged young man
who came in.
Yes, Aaron Retarded Rodgers.
Aaron Retarded Rodgers came in, and he did a decent job because they went back to doing what they did.
All right. The guy does not look like a quarterback. The guy looks like some schlub off the street, you know, and you're comparing him to the great Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. But, hey, you know, life goes on.
All I want to say from last night's game is this.
Dallas will get a new set of downs.
It appears they will.
It appears Dallas will get a new set of downs. Mm-hmm. Green Bay will get a new set of downs.
if you had a shot of liquor mm-hmm. every time Bryant Gumbel said, "It appears that," you would have been drunk in the first quarter.
Chris, it appears now that Dallas will get a new set of downs. And here I am.
And what was the deal with the microphones on that telecast? You had, first of all.
Do you mean when Deion Sanders was in the end zone talking like this?
You know, you got Bryant Gumbel up in the booth, and he's sounding like this.
Well, we're out here on the field, and let's go down to Deion. Deion, what's the mood on the field?
I want to tell you something. I played the game before, and these men are here to play.
Yeah, what a mess. What
it
a mess for my Packers.
That Brett Favre has hurt his elbow.
Did you notice when Deion was on the sidelines, he was still moving his hands like an in-studio analyst?
Well, I think
he's standing by himself. But
because there's no camera on him on that shot. When he's just standing on the sidelines and he's talking to, you know, whatever the camera is on the 50-yard line that's taking the shot of him, I think he wants to make it very, very clear that he is speaking and he is the analyst. You know, he's got that little, that nice little space-age microphone that he uses.
Yeah, the Janet Jackson microphone.
Right.
Yeah. But he was waving his hands like a bird.
Well, now we've
He's got some of that preacher in him. I mean, he likes when Deion Sanders goes out, he likes doing that whole...
Buzz, a preacher is someone who believes in God.
Well, now we've talked to Deion, and it appears that while the camera was on Deion, they scored again. Yep. Sorry about that, Deion. Delightful.
And I liked it when they also just kind of glossed over. Well, this game is getting a lot of publicity, maybe not for all the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Collinsworth, turkey neck, says, I don't even want to talk about that.
Yeah, he's a sensitive guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well handled, Chris. Well handled. Hey, I like that space age. Do they use that on all the programs when they have the sideline reporters, when they have the halftime show? That little space-age hydraulic lift that they have.
Oh, that little Rich Eisen thing?
I've never seen it set up like that, but they press the little button and the stage comes on and Rich Eisen's hair comes out.
A little TV set. Anyway, yeah, I had a lot of people ask me. I'm not heartbroken about this. It's a long season. They're going to make the playoffs. Sad that Brett Favre got hurt, but hey, the best team won.
What about the strategy that I heard last night during the game where they might have, certainly no team in the NFL wants to come out and lose. But they were saying that it wouldn't be all that horrible to, have a playoff game where they came back down to Dallas instead of Green Bay.
No, that you would really
in the cold of the season.
No, you would want the opposite. If you were the Packers, you wanted to win, so they would have to come to crappy, cold Green Bay.
I didn't say that, Don.
I heard somebody that did. I heard somebody on the telecast that was talking about it.
And the only person that called to bust my balls would be the last person in the world I would expect. About 8:20 last night, when it looked good.
Right.
When they were driving, phone rings, and I see it's my brother.
Jimmy!
On the caller ID.
Right.
And I go, yes. That's just how I answered the phone. I go, yes. And he says, hey, homo. I'm like, Jimmy, I'm watching the game. Please, can I watch the game? He said, I want to tell you something. I get Milwaukee Cable. I said, fantastic. Mm-hmm. He said, so I can watch the game right now. I'm watching it.
He's watching it.
I said.
He was excited. He thought he might have to go out and get a dish to see the game, and he wasn't going to do that.
I said, well, that's very exciting. Let's talk later, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that as Brett Favre threw his interceptions, my brother would just pick up the phone and call me and go, God, they suck.
They didn't look real good last night, but as you said, they're going to the playoffs, and it was a regular season game, so it didn't bother you. If it had bothered you to any great degree, you should have implemented the television strategy that I had last night.
What's that?
Jumping between two different programs. I was going between the game and Fight Club. I enjoyed me the Fight Club.
That's good. And one thing, I do have the saga of the FedEx thing.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
Well, when I got home last night, Janet was still on the telephone with FedEx. Now, this, to me, in some ways, on the surface, seemed to be a colossal waste of over 10 hours of her day.
Sure.
But I understand what it was. She was on a quest. And
yeah,
it's the
win. She wants to get the win.
She was so pissed off of calling and being disconnected and going back through the switchboard and getting people's names and getting people's extensions and then calling back and trying to get through. That last night I got home about 7:45. She just walked past me with the phone on her ear. She said, I'm still working on the thing. Dinner will be later. 9:15.
She's obsessed with this.
9:15, she came downstairs, and she said, well, they have finally decided that Muhammad has lost the package.
There it is.
I figured as much.
Probably something they could have determined 4 days ago.
So, the people at Apple, aren't they wonderful? They say, we're going to FedEx you another one.
Right.
Overnight. Yeah, the product that I ordered as a Christmas gift.
They have to.
Now, imagine our surprise. FedEx truck pulls up this morning, 10:30. It's the one from Apple.
Uh-huh.
The make good one.
They overnighted it.
Wow. Yeah. That was fast.
About 11:30, a crappy van drives about 15 feet from our driveway and launches a box.
And that's the original.
And now I got two of them.
Wow. Well, that doesn't matter, right? Because now that you've gotten it, do you have to give the other one back?
Here's the thing. I think it's like when the bank puts too much money in your account.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
And also, I think morally, you know, the people at Apple were nice to send it back.
Can you use the other one, or do you have to send it back?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to send Apple back the one that Muhammad threw in my driveway.
Well, that's the way it should be anyway.
The one that was hurled.
Because who knows where else that's been hurled.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're going to hurl into this.
And then there was some conversation between Janet and Muhammad, and I know that she got some sort of resolution out of it because I heard her voice going to those levels, you know, outside voice.
Right.
Because I guess Muhammad called after the fact to say, get off my ass. I finally delivered it.
Oh, good. All right. So Muhammad had a little bit of an attitude.
I guess so.
Muhammad's gotten tired of the heat
after a couple of weeks.
I guess so. So anyway.
But now you are officially done.
Yes.
Good.
Color me done, Mike.
And because I follow your example, I am officially starting. This weekend. Not today, but this weekend.
Sunday evening?
Well, you know, I tried to start. I hope my kids are listening. Brittany, if my kids are listening right now, turn the radio down.
Leave Britney alone!
Yes, Britney Spears is my babysitter.
Leave Britney Spears alone right now!
Lucky you.
I really did get motivated when you were talking about getting all yours done, and I went online to purchase a type of laptop.
Yeah.
And I figured you go online, you know, call me computer illiterate. You go online, you press a button for a laptop, and they say, fine, thank you. There were, after I got the initial laptop picked out, there were, I'm going to guess, 30 add-ons that I had to go through on the computer screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never done that.
Options.
I hated that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know all the, you know, do you want to upgrade? Do you want to have it cost less money because you're not taking the one that's standard with it? Is this good? Is this? I have no earthly. There are four choices per add-on. Whether it be security, whether it be a firewall, whether it be a mouse that I want to have with the thing, whether it be, and I wanted to get my kid a laptop to do homework on and hopefully not be stalked on the internet.
But here's the great thing. Your kid already knows more about computers than you do.
But I got to order the thing, and I don't know whether, I got halfway through this and I went, I just got offline.
Are you talking about ordering one, and it's like
they put everything in there.
They put the application.
They put everything in there, and you know you're taking a computer that costs say $560, $590, and by the time you're done, it's $1,000, as Jerry would say, and it's not that I mind spending a lot of money for a good computer, but I don't know whether I'm putting the right stuff in it because they give me 6 to 7 choices for each thing. And I don't know whether to not add on or whether I keep the thing that is standard or whether I do the upgrade because I really have no idea how to negotiate that.
Do they put in Windows for you and like
all
that stuff? Yeah,
that was my first question, and that was the easy one.
And that
if it had been that, it said,
I'd be out.
Do you want Windows XP or Windows Vista? And I went Windows Vista. I'll get the upgraded. I'll get the Windows Vista. And that was a mistake?
Well,
I haven't ordered it yet, so. Fine.
People tend to prefer the XP.
So yeah. I should get the XP?
Yeah.
See? There I was thinking it was the newfangled. Well, that's why I pulled out of it. I was coming down on that
runway.
Always
pull out, Mike.
I always pull out.
I won't have to.
But this is why, you see, I wanted to do the whole thing online.
Ever.
And this is why I would rather have an idiot salesperson who could walk me through this.
That's why you got to go, like, to a geek squad.
A geek squad?
Yeah, and you have to tell the guy how old your kid is, because keep this in mind, too. How old is the daughter you're buying this for?
Catherine is 12.
12.
I'm getting one for Catherine and Elizabeth.
But
12 and 10.
You realize that now computers, laptops, everything electronic, probably by the time they're ready to get to the last phase of high school or start college,
they'll be obsolete.
You'll be buying another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
well, before then,
every few years,
you gotta buy them all the time.
Well, the only reason I'm doing this is because computers have become such an amazingly significant part of their homework
standard,
and now more than ever. And you know, but you're right. I have to go. The thing is, they didn't have it at the store that I went to, and so that's why I decided I'd do it online. And online, you're kind of on your own. If I could buy a Geek or rent a Geek and have the Geek sitting next to me,
now hold on. This is not like going to the doctor appointment. The doctor appointment you could not pawn off. And you could not do over the telephone. When it comes to buying something, you can hire someone to go buy stuff for you.
A buyer?
Yeah.
A personal shopper?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just this particular item. Everything else I'd like to do myself. But this particular computer thing just got me really, I felt like I was in a maze because I don't know the detailed answers to some of the questions they have. And I don't know whether it's the right security to put on the laptop. I'm totally embarrassing and totally confused.
Can I tell you something? Don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, that's always the precursor to something absolutely fabulous.
Because generally speaking, you are so thoughtless and forgetful.
Yes.
If you got a personal shopper,
right,
you could tell the personal shopper what it is that you had in mind for everybody. They go out and do all the stuff, and then they say to you, for Rob, like, we found a Hitler bobblehead, found an Elvis bobblehead, mm-hmm. and we found an Elvis Pez dispenser. Which would you like?
I've gotten pretty good gifts over the years on my own. I only forgot that birthday that one time.
I'm just speaking.
Jesus' birthday.
The gifts have been okay. I mean, except for Slam Man.
Not complaining about gifts.
The gifts have been all right, right?
Not great. Complaining about your gifts are great. Yes. I'm just saying.
I mean, they're not bad.
No, they're great.
And I mean, it really, even when I'm totally at a loss, I give cash.
And that's the best present of all.
See? And that is the, and I really know it is.
You
but I
wouldn't
want to.
Before it was cool.
This might shock you.
Yeah.
This might shock you.
You're pointing.
That I actually enjoy the process. I actually enjoy when I get right down to it, mm-hmm. you know, shopping for people. This is terrible. Like, I don't. I really do. I tend to procrastinate, mm-hmm. but on this, here I was all excited because I had the exact computer that my kids wanted, and then I got deep into this thing, and I was lost. It was like a math test what it was like.
Yeah. Wanted to offer that up as a suggestion.
Like a personal shopper.
There are people out there who make their living doing that.
It's really? Yeah, but I don't want to do that. There are not enough people that I have to worry about to do that.
And if you're worried about being a snob with that, don't worry about that because there are people who are even worse. There are people who, now, I know you've heard of people who hire other folks to come out and put up their Christmas lights.
Right.
Right.
There are now companies that are delivering flyers that say, we will come to your home. We will put up your Christmas tree. We will put up the lights, and we will make sure everything works. Those people need to be taken out and be shot, all of them at once.
Do you feel as strongly about the people that put lights up outside as the people that put up the tree? Or do you feel stronger? Do you put that in the same category?
No, not at all. Here's the thing.
Because if there was somebody that could give me, like, for under $100, give me, like, a kick-ass setup outside, if I paid for the lights,
Mike,
and they could
set
my lights up, I think that I paid for that.
Here's the level of where people just become cretins. You got personal shoppers, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are people who are just too busy.
Right.
Whatever. Okay, well, and if you can afford it, but yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's right for you.
no, it's not right for me.
Then you have the people who are like myself. If I had a big house and I wanted to deck it out,
yeah.
There's no way that I am inclined enough electronically to get up on my friggin' roof. I almost killed myself trying to adjust my satellite dish.
Yeah. Right.
So then there are the people that hire someone to decorate their house. Mm-hmm. By my standards, I understand.
Yeah, I wish I knew who those people were because I'd love
now,
to do that.
Okay. When you are
power wash,
he was talking to me about that yesterday. He wants to get into that business. Our own Joe Ardinger.
Uh-huh. When you are such a despicable Scrooge, and just so busy, and you've got so much money. You know, Robin Williams used to say the reason to know that if you do coke, all that you got too much. What was that buzz?
Cocaine is a sign you make too much money.
Right. Here's the new sign you make too much money. Uh-huh. If you hire a guy to come to your house and either assemble your fake Christmas tree or put your real Christmas tree in the stand and then decorate it with your lights and make sure that it's okay by you, and then he stands there like Martin Short and Father of the Bride and goes, Is that wonderful?
Not acceptable.
That to me is the ultimate. Oh my God, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Well, then I'm very happy to tell you something. That last night I went up to the attic and took down the artificial Christmas tree down two stories. And I know you don't like the fake one.
No, you know what? I went fake last year.
You know that?
I have two fakes in my house.
It's
this year.
You know, it really is for me. It's the living in the old house I live in. It's the fire issue. It freaks me out a little bit. And the needles and all that crap.
Was it still decorated from last year?
No, but it's one of those ones that's got the pre-lit stuff.
I got that
so,
too. That's fantastic.
I hauled that downstairs, and the deal was I haul it down from the attic. I set it up, and Carla said, I'd really rather do the decorating on my own. And I said, what did you say? She said, I'd like to do the decorating on my own. I'm like, you are there. Then she gets halfway. She gets started, right? And I decide that I'm not going to completely ignore the process because I don't want her to come back to me at a later date and say, you didn't hang one single ornament. So I came out and I told her that. I said, give me one so I can put it on the tree so that I can say that I have hung one ornament. And as soon as I did that, I put it up. Something happened. It was not my fault, but something happened that one of the big glass balls shattered on the floor. And she looked at me like, this is why you should not have even come in here. And she finished decorating the rest of the tree. Happy holidays.
Do you have white lights or colored lights?
I have white lights.
No, I have light lights. So.
You don't like colored lights, do
I
you?
Don't.
You.
Sometimes.
It's official.
Sometimes what? They don't work.
You know why, Rob?
Why?
They're lazy lights.
Oh, oh dear God.
That's why.
My God.
I don't know.
That's why.
My God.
Damn, damn, damn!
We broke another one.
Oh, Florida.
Oh, if only I could be in Florida now.
Oh. You sure about that statement?
I'd need a shovel.
You sure would.
Two horses drive by Florida Evans.
Of course.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it's official.
Well, you say, I think you already were on the air. I just never closed this line. What's official?
There's absolutely one guy who is less talented than George Lopez. It's official. It's all over the news, all over the media. Craig Ferguson.
What about Craig Ferguson?
How does this guy rate a television show? He's worth.
I think Craig Ferguson rocks.
The guy's brilliant.
He's funny. We love him.
He's one of the best monologue guys in the business, bar none.
The guy has a natural talent for being very intimate with the camera. It's something that you can't teach.
He is an absolute natural on television. I can't believe you don't like that guy.
The guy is unfunny. He's about as funny as John Goodman, and that's all I can say to you.
Wow. So he slams John Goodman, who I think is a funny guy.
Yeah, agreed.
And Craig Ferguson.
Right. Also funny.
So who's he like? He likes Leno and Jim Belushi.
Probably. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
They are funny.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Who's this?
And Caveman.
This is According to Retard. Hi there. Don and Mike Show. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Turn down your radio, please, my love.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure who's on the phone right now.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Yes.
Landshark.
Turn down that radio, lady.
You want to turn your radio down, ma'am?
Please. Honey. Oh, damn it, honey.
What's funny?
I don't know. I don't know who I'm talking to. So
we've already explained that to you.
Well, you have our show turned up loudly in the background, and you've called our show, and we've kind of indicated it's a radio show.
I already said it's Don and Mike's show.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
Very.
All right. Well, I'm going to be shuffling along now.
Why did you call?
I used to listen to you guys.
You used to listen to us?
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to us right now, so it wouldn't be used to. I heard the radio on in the background.
Well, it's the internet.
It's the internet.
Either All right.
Way. Well, that's the same thing.
So you're still listening. Hi.
Hi.
Well, what
Hi.
Happened? What did you panic? Did you have some kind of panic attack?
No, not really, but just the fact that I'm talking to you guys, it's just kind of cool.
So. Is it making you moist? Are you turned on? Are you excited?
No.
Are you like every other woman we've ever met?
What made you say I'm going to dial them up today?
I have no idea. Maybe the time of the season, almost December, Christmas time.
Medication?
Yeah. Oh, Christmas time. It's a sad time, isn't it?
It can be for some.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
So what's your problem, lady?
I have no problem, but it's really kind of good to hear you guys. you know, after all these years.
Well, you obviously wanted to talk to us, but you don't even want to admit that you called to talk to us.
Let's talk.
No, and I'm probably on the air. It's really scary.
Of course you're on the air.
My God, honey, you call the request line. We answered the request line. You're on the air. You've been on the air. This entire call has been on the air.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What is so difficult to get your head around, you cow?
Now, really, Bitchley Calcorn, how may we serve you?
Just saying hi. Let's let it go at that.
Fair enough. It's so funny because you called us, and now it's as though we've invaded your space. That's the way you're making us feel right now, and that's annoying.
Are you still a bleeder?
Oh, my God. I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, you would know. That's something you would know.
You're not calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, are you?
Oh, I hate Florida.
You hate Florida. Well,
and she probably hates Craig Ferguson and John Goodman,
too. We know someone who lives in Florida who hates Mexicans, and she called the show yesterday, and she kind of sounded like she flew in on the same broom.
Dear.
You can't say that. You can't say on the radio that you're sticking your broom up your...
It's
up your,
too graphic for there. Us. Let's have a little fun here. What weekend plans do you have?
Going to a football game. Mm-hmm.
Going to a football game.
Yeah.
Where do you live? What town do you live in?
Well, can't you tell by the phone call?
Well, it says area code 480. I don't have any idea.
All right. Well, I ain't going to clue you in. You can look that up later, but anyway.
Okay, I'll look
under. You are one uncooperative witness.
Let me see. Operator, last name, bitch. First name, incredibly stupid.
Is it a professional football game or a college football game?
College.
Are you going with a date or with one of your larger girlfriends?
Are you just going to go down on the whole team?
Oh, listen, you guys.
Oh, excuse me. I probably can't say it. Are you going just to service the entire team?
Oh, my God.
Listen,
oh, my God.
I know.
Will you drive or will you pull a train?
Well, I would.
Never mind.
Okay.
Well, it's really, we're going to just tell us where, you know, the general area you're from.
Well, I can't do that, but.
Why can't you do that? It's not going to. We're going to know it. We know it anyway. We have your phone number.
Sure, it says
I
here.
I know. And where's area
code 480? Where's area code 480?
It says here that's Phoenix, Arizona.
So are you, you're listening on the internet in Phoenix?
I do.
Mm-hmm. How's the weather in Phoenix today?
All right, so you're gonna go see some college kids tomorrow?
I am.
You are? How many of them are you gonna do?
Oh, none. Huh.
Regarding that rain, when you walk around Phoenix, which is known as the Valley of the Sun, is it not? Isn't it something like that? Phoenix is the Valley of the Sun?
That's correct. Uh-huh. It is the Valley of the Sun.
So when you walk around Phoenix, do you have the rain like directly over you and you can look outside of about a 30-foot radius in your area and you can see the sun shining brightly? However, if you're within like, say, 20 feet of you, it's soaking time.
Yeah, pretty much. But it is raining here, and when you live here for a number of years.
What is it about the show this week? We have all of these middle-aged, menopausal women calling.
It's kind of nice, isn't it?
I mean, I'm not complaining. It's the circle of life.
The circle of life. Yes, they're born, mm-hmm. and then they have that time, mm-hmm. and then they don't have that time any longer, and then they're preparing to die.
And that's when they call us.
Right. Damn. After that.
And here she is.
Well, I'm not preparing to die anytime soon.
Good for you. Good for you. You're a fighter.
Good. Keep thinking that.
It was still nice to talk to you.
It was very nice talking to you.
Nice to hear from you again.
You almost killed me out of boredom.
I'm sorry.
That is your lack of personality is a lethal weapon.
You going to the Arizona State game tomorrow?
I am.
Mm-hmm. See? Now I know where you're going to be.
Gee, I
hope. There you go.
Hope nobody roughs you up in the parking lot.
Yeah, I know. They're crazy out here. Really crazy.
You a married lady?
No.
No, of course not.
Why did he leave you? May I ask?
Oh, I can't go on. This is scary because I've got, you know, relatives and friends back there, and here I am on the air. What? So
she might have relatives, but I don't think she has any friends.
Darling, really.
What's your name? Is it B?
No. Mm-hmm.
Why did he leave you? Please tell us. Please?
No, I left him.
Oh, come on. You did not.
I did.
You did not.
Well, she may have, but well, then the next question will be, who did he cheat with?
Well,
was it a friend?
Oh, my God. It wasn't a close friend, was it?
No, but there's so much crap that went on, and I'm done with it.
Good for you. Done. How long have you been out of the relationship? 15, 16 years?
When's the last time you slept with him?
Maybe 9 years ago.
When's the last time you slept with anyone?
I can't tell you that.
Come on, baby. You're making us hot.
Actually, anyway. That's on our screen as well. It was,
I know.
It was 6 years ago, wasn't it?
All right. You guys are funny.
Old ladies wearing fat stretch pants. Turn us on. So listen,
okay,
put on your Christmas sweater, and I'll be ready to go to town on you.
You understand this is just like the little boy in the schoolyard throwing the stick or the rock at a girl. You know, we're doing
know,
all this because
of taunting her and whatever.
Yes, of course. We love you.
Flirtation.
I know, and I did call you.
Yes, you started it.
I'm almost sorry now.
Oh, don't be sorry.
Well, then we've not done our job, because our job is to make sure that everyone that calls this show is incredibly sorry that they called.
You know what I found to be on the schoolyard, one of the best tricks? We had tetherball. And if you were lucky enough to get a girl to play tetherball, you would hold on to the ball and see if someone could distract her. And then you would serve the tetherball when she was distracted. And if you were, lucky enough, you might get a headshot. And it was lots of fun. That was my equivalent of throwing the rock. I'd do that to guys too, though. But it was always somebody'd yell, "Hey, Billy!" And as soon as he looks away, you smack the tetherball.
I just got to say, I never had that Dennis the Menace gene in me. When I would see a youngster like Mike,
you would cherish that.
I would immediately see the little girl that had been spawned and spurned in some way by Mike or the bully, and I would, even at the age of 4 or 5. I walk over with my little ascot on.
little Lord Donleroy.
Take out my little playtime tea set.
You dressed really like a miniature Thurston Howell.
Yeah, I had on shorts and a double-breasted blazer.
And a blazer that had one of those patches on
shield,
it.
Shield.
A like family crest.
A family crest.
Buckled shoes.
And I did have my captain's cap.
Guys, you've done really well for yourself, and it's cool. And you're still here, and...
What the hell did you interrupt Don's story for that?
I don't know.
He was telling a story of his uniform that he used to wear.
Also, I had on knee-high white socks, hard black shoes...
With buckles.
With big pilgrim buckles on them.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know that look. I've worn it myself. All right, I'm going to say goodbye, and thank you for talking to me.
It's good to hear from you.
Please, can you get off the line now, please?
Okay, I will.
This is not
a
party line.
Bye, love you.
Right now.
Oh, that's what they all say.
Oh, I was going to ask her to get really drunk tonight.
She likes to be in control. At the very end there, she's like, well, listen, I have to get off the line.
I'd say that's a fair statement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a thing with ugly women. You'll find it common among the ugly.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Also, weak arms.
Yeah, I agree.
Common among the ugly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi there.
God.
Oh, Christ.
Are you among the ugly? Call us.
I know, we got a break. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, my friend, what's happening?
Oh, I were just talking about Brian Gumbel earlier. I would rather listen to Shannon Sharp and Steve McNair call a game than that guy.
Okay, let's find out what you meant by that. No one help him out now.
No, there's no need.
Nobody help him out. Why would you rather hear Shannon Sharp instead of Brian Gumbel?
I can understand him better.
Brian Gumbel is very well spoken. Why do you have a problem understanding him?
I hate how he sounds.
You hate how he sounds?
Yes.
Would you care to elaborate?
He sounds like he's borderline a woman.
Borderline a woman.
And what about Steve McNair?
They both have very poor... diction.
Who does?
Shannon Sharp and Steve McNair.
They're not smart and well-spoken like you, huh?
Exactly.
I think I understand what this fellow is saying.
You have a sense of what he's trying to convey?
Help us out.
I think I understand what he's saying was...
Explain it to me, because I'm really not sure what he's trying to say.
In some way, he's mad at Bryant Gumbel. Well, first, he doesn't like a black announcer.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's saying is he didn't like Bryant Gumbel to the point last night where he would even take someone who's even blacker.
Oh,
do you understand what I'm saying?
Now I understand.
And I'm not talking about skin tone. I'm talking about
As far as the way they express themselves.
The way they express themselves.
Now I get it.
Is that what you were saying,
is that what
friend?
It was? Because I'm glad I finally understand it.
That is exactly what I was saying.
Okay. Congratulations, Stain.
God damn. Seriously, why are you people out there calling us with this crap? Well, he just hung up.
He hung up.
Like he just realized he stepped in poop.
He's off to Florida.
He's that dumb that he didn't know. Because and when I said, oh, now I understand, he's like, yeah, he's all excited about himself.
You
yes, sir. You're with, and that's really, isn't that what a guy like that is looking for more than anything? Uh-huh. You're with me, right?
You get it?
You're on my side. Right? Because I know it's wrong, but it's good if it's a lot of people that is wrong.
Right.
Jesus.
There's the logic. I would rather hear Shannon Sharp and Steve McNair call the game than Bryant Gumbel. Well, my friend, the meeting is at 8 o'clock tonight. Bring your hood.
November 30th, 2007.
Hello, Dynamite Show. The day the world stood still.
Dynamite.
That's our names. Don't wear them out. Hello.
Dynamite.
Hello, Holmes.
Hey. Have you guys ever watched that show on TLC where they bring a couple of people, or they bring someone to New York, and they make them get rid of all their clothes, and they buy them a new wardrobe and give them a new makeover and everything?
And what, do they make them wander the streets after that?
No, they give them a credit card, and they find somebody who dresses really, really crappy, mm-hmm. and they bring them to New York and give them a whole new wardrobe and everything.
I don't think anyone in this room has seen that show, my friend.
What not to wear?
Oh. What not?
You know what?
What not to wear?
I've seen the title come up on the
true.
On the guy.
That's what it's
what
called.
What not?
Okay,
that's fantastic.
Hi there, Don and Mike.
He got it.
Hey, John Goodman is as unfunny as Chris Rock.
That's a fair statement.
Well said, my friend. Hi there, Land of the Idiots, the Don and Mike Show.
All right, the next time you guys listen to Bryant Gumbel on the NFL Network, just think of John Boy. That's exactly who he sounds like without saying.
You know, he does have a bit of a Richard Thomas. In fact, he's got a very Richard Thomas-like delivery.
Huh, well, that's especially during the Today Show years.
Yeah, good luck to you. Thanks so much. Good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, John Boy.
Hey, Paul. Yeah. I was wondering, this gigantic mole on the side of my face, how come we never address it, Paul, on the show?
Tony Romo, dating Carrie Underwood, Jessica Simpson, and a scratch golfer. And it appears that Dallas will have a new set of downs. Hello. Good luck to you. Chris Collinsworth is sitting next to me, and he's eating leaves. He's eating leaves from the tall tree.
I'm Tom Turkey. Gobble, gobble. I don't want to talk about that, Chris. I mean, Bryant.
I think we can say without any other connotations that it was not the dream team.
No.
It was not the dream announcing team last night.
No, it was not. It had to be for the NFL Network, you know. Their chance to shine last night.
As you watched it, did you get the same feeling I did that that Bryant Gumbel in particular was like the announcer that had gotten away from it because he does so many other things right now and he's gone, you know, he's gone the news route, and it was that this was like a fun little hobby for him.
Yeah, and
that's the feeling that I got hearing that last
he's
night.
He's the thinking man's play-by-play guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He does not have enough raw emotion. I got the feeling, like I do on all the NFL Network games, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm watching something that's production-wise third tier.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? All the games on the networks are mm-hmm. produced a lot better, and you would think that the NFL would do a better job because it's their product. They're spit shining and putting out in front of everybody.
Yeah, but they don't spend the money that I guess they need to do that. But it was, I mean, at least you could see the ball in the air when they throw it. I mean, the camera stayed on the players. That's you know, you got to help for the best in that situation.
There's heady praise.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mike O'Mara said the camera stayed in the ball while it was in the air.
I watched it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio gods.
Hi.
Wanted to call and tell you, not that I'm agreeing with the Bryant Gumbel advocate over there that was
let's start well this said. Up again. Okay, not that you're agreeing with him, but
at the end of the first half, Chris Collinsworth even left him hanging when he said, "We're going to a break, and wow, quite a showdown, Chris, wouldn't you say?" And it was complete silence from Chris Collinsworth. He wouldn't back him up, and they went to a break.
So what does that have to do with what the other guy said?
I was kind of lending credence to the Brian Gumbel annoyance factor and just wanted to give you guys an example.
All right. I get what you're saying. So you're annoyed by Brian Gumbel. That's a fair fact. I think a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm. And his diction. He tries going overboard like a Miller sometimes.
Well, he is a guy. He's like a Bob Costas type. Brian Gumbel's one of those guys that wants to be a sports fan, but also wants to wear his Burberry scarf and wants to tell you how incredibly evolved he is while he's discussing gladiators killing themselves on the football field.
Falls into the same categories, the serious business of comedy and the serious business of sports.
Yeah.
You get that with Costas and Brian Gumbel, although I do love Brian Gumbel's show, Real Sports. I think that's like a 60 minutes of sports.
It was DeMarcus Ware with a good drop who was in better position.
Boy, DeMarcus Ware, what a tool he is.
And that was a good moment. Because
dumb old Chris Collinsworth over on the other side. What a tool.
He doesn't realize that he's saying the guy's a jerk. What he was saying is DeMarcus Ware is an incredible tool, as in a help to the Dallas.
Like you would use a wrench.
Dallas defense.
But it was DeMarcus Ware with a good drop who was in better position.
Boy, DeMarcus Ware, what a tool he is.
You know, you take that out of context.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
All right. Oh, we will get an update on the writer's strike. Okay, well, we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Looks like baby vomit.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have some bad news. Meredith was hit by a car.
What?
Where? It happened this morning in the parking lot. I took her to the hospital, and the doctors tried to save her life. They did the best that they could, and she is going to be okay.
What is wrong with you? Why did you have to phrase it like that?
So she's really going to be fine? Yes, she has a slight pelvical fracture, but people have survived far worse.
Thank God you were there.
Yeah.
Did you see who did it?
No need. We can just check the security tapes.
Yeah, kind of a good news, bad news there. I was able to be on the scene so quickly because I was in the car that hit her.
Who was driving?
Oh, Michael.
One day Michael came in complaining about a speed bump on the highway. I wonder who he ran over then.
The Don and Mike Show. A tradition unlike any other. The Don and Mike Show.
That's one of our favorite scenes from the Harvard Show, where Meredith got hit by the car. And we were supposed to have the gal who plays Meredith. She was going to be on the show a while ago. Then something with Jay Leno came up.
Yes, at the last minute.
Right. And anyway, we want to know what's going on with the writer's strike. We wanted to say hello to her anyway. So now let's welcome Kate Flannery. Hey, Kate. Hello there.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, how are you? It's great to... Here's the office music.
Oh, that lovely theme. What a lovely theme.
It's great
to
talk to you. How great is it that scene that we just played was really about you, but you were not in the scene?
I thought it was a very creative choice. Really creative, you guys are.
I would imagine when you're not in the scene, but it all involves you, you have to watch that and enjoy it more than if you were even on camera.
Absolutely. You know, I feel like Meredith has never outworn her welcome. You know,
right. As someone who has watched that show from the beginning, and I watched the British one, there are moments when I can say, I actually jumped up, spilled my drink, did a spit take when you got hit by Steve Carell. Yes, literally, it was jump up, food on the floor. Like, my God, how great is that? How great
the office
is. I think
getting hit by a car was the best thing that's ever happened in my career, by the way.
I agree.
That's great.
Now, with the ensemble group that you have on The Office, before we speak to you about the writer's strike, I'd like to know, Your character, Meredith, is she getting more play this year than she did last year?
I think so. I mean, I think the end of last season I got a little more, and I think the beginning of the season, absolutely. So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where then there could be another, you know, I talk a lot in three episodes, and then the next following week I don't say a word. You know, I just get a look. So, you know, it's all good. I mean, it's everybody kind of has their turn on our show, and I think I was a little behind on the counter, and now I'm catching up. So
I would imagine watching that show, I always think the control
of all of you in the cast, the control that is required to perform in the scenes that you perform in, because it is so underplayed, it is so subtle, and the looks are so important. I mean, it's really, the casting has to be so very important, and it's got to be, it's tough. It's probably very difficult work to do, I would imagine.
Well, you know something, it was for somebody like me, because I've done a ton of stage, and I really have done a lot of comedy in stage, and you know, you really know how to make a live audience laugh with a look, but the camera is a whole other beast. And I just remember, you know, literally the first 2 years of working on the show, the executive producers would always come and say, just take it down, or the director, a little bit less, a little bit less.
A little bit less.
Down to 10%, which that was my funny, you know, the funniest, I think Charles McDougall on the first Christmas episode we shot, where I was, I flashed Michael in the office.
Oh, my God.
You know, several times he'd say to me, down to 10%. It was like, what?
10%.
But you know, you managed to do that, and your spots on the show are great. Like, was it last season? I don't know, the one where you all went swimming, and you said, I've even got my bathing suit on. And you lifted up, like, your crocheted top, and your boobs were pixelated out. And it was 5 seconds out of the show, but again, 5 seconds that really made the show.
Memorable.
My parents are so proud when I'm topless. They really, God.
Listen.
It ages them another 10 years, I swear.
How do you guys on the cast feel about the fact that NBC really just hoarded out, I mean, two episodes on every Thursday night, and now we're out of episodes, and the writers are on strike.
I know. I feel like we've been just on this unbelievable ride. Now I feel like we're suspended in midair. It's kind of odd.
What do you hear as far as, among your fellow actors, the writers that you know in the business? You know, we really don't get a lot during a regular newscast as far as what's happening with the writer's strike.
Yeah, we don't. And actually, the producers finally came to the table this past Monday for the first time in 3 weeks. So literally 3 weeks of no news, no negotiations, nothing, not even a crack in the door. So the fact that, you know, they finally were willing to meet, which I think that's ridiculous that it took them that long to even talk. I feel like, you know, don't they realize that there are so many people whose livelihoods are at stake? And I'm not talking about the actors and the writers. I'm talking about the people below the line. You know, the people who are the grips and the catering people and the people in wardrobe and makeup. I mean, everybody suffers.
What is a best boy?
I've always wanted to know that, too.
Actually, I'm probably going to screw this up. I think the best boy is the best gaffer. I think that's how it goes. It's like that, like the head gaffer is the
What's
best
a gaffer?
What's a gaffer?
Yeah, they usually do lighting on set.
What's a light? Do you have a
you know, when you have a drink and you feel a little better, that's like a light. Okay.
A light. There you go.
Have you guys, like, I tried to ask, maybe I didn't ask the right way. Do you guys think, as you sit around as a group, because the show is gaining momentum finally, do you say, you know, NBC, hey, thanks for nothing. Like, you shot the wad. We gave you 10 episodes that should have lasted you 2 months. Instead, you bogart them all in 1 month, and now we got dick. We got nothing but reruns.
I'm not mad at NBC. You know, so we were told ahead of time that we were going to start the season with 4-hour-long episodes. And, I think it's, you know, I mean, I feel like our show is in a great position because there are a lot of shows that may not make it through this strike. You know, newer shows,
right,
shows that were sort of like, you know, where the audiences were a little bit questionable. I mean, I think we have pretty solid footing. So, no, I'm not mad at NBC. I mean, they asked for 30 episodes. I think they ended up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is amazing. I mean, that's like Bewitched. I mean, that's like the old days. You know, we don't get, you know, they used to do a lot of TV, you know, a lot of episodes per year. And
you get some ideas out of it because, Don, you've watched the show a lot longer than I have, but I love it now. And I would think that'd be a good storyline for Dunder Mifflin to have a strike. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure all these strike ideas are going to come up. I was going to say, maybe there'll be a reality show about a picket line. I don't know.
How long? This is just a Hollywood question for you. Kate, how long do you think it'll be till Leah Remini graces the small screen again?
Is that the actress from King of Queens?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Leah Remini. You know what? Right. You've answered enough by
that's
simply.
No need to go any
simply
further.
Asking if she is the actress from King of Queens.
I haven't heard nice things about her. I wish her the best, but man, I have not heard the nicest things about her.
No. She's not a. Well,
we're former friends.
Oh,
we're acquaintances.
Acquaintances now, yeah, we're acquaintances right now.
She could not handle being on The Office. I mean, seriously, how could you tell Leah, first off, well, you'd have to explain the jokes. And second, God, someone would have to say, she'd be standing around going, where's the laugh track?
Without a laugh track, she doesn't know when to pause.
We digress. We're being bitter and petty.
Yeah, we are. Let us offer you a free plate of waffles or hotcakes. What's the name of the restaurant that she owns?
Vivian's. Los Angeles. Yes, when in Los Angeles, dine at Vivian's. That's the,
nice.
Yes, the fabulous
restaurant.
I gotta get
there.
Anyway, you are a very nice, very funny lady. I mean that seriously.
Thank you so much. Well, you know something? A lot of us in the office I feel like we get along really well, and everybody's like really normal compared to some of the freaks in Hollywood on TV shows. And you know, we don't have that clash of egos as much, you know, on our show as most shows do. And I think a lot of it's because most of us are older and grateful. Like I'm old and grateful. Like I was waiting tables literally up and through the first season of The Office.
Well, it's the thing about it, there is so little, as you know, originality coming out of Hollywood. See something that is so underplayed, and you know, when they tell you bring it down to 10%, and you see a show like this, there's nothing like it. There really is nothing like it, and I hope it lasts for a good long time. I really do.
No, believe me, I know how lucky I am. I know this is a, you know, a shot in a million, because you know they're you know, I mean, I have friends that are on, you know, on Disney Channel stuff that, yeah, maybe the kids will watch, but you know what I mean. I feel like our show has we have a different, I don't know, it makes a different connection with people.
Thank God Steve Carell's movie career is dying. Really, I mean, because as an ensemble, I mean, it was my big concern. Please, they give
that him he'd leave The Office,
that he's going to be the next Jim Carrey,
and now he still might be. But you know something, Steve has two little kids. He lives 10 minutes from the studio. I don't think he's going to stop doing The Office, because it is the one thing in his life that is a set schedule for him, so he can make it to the soccer games.
Well, I'll ask both of you this: Do you think Steve Carell? I think Steve Carell can you know, be on The Office for a very long time, but the type of cast that it is, I would imagine that it could go on for a very long time. That would be the type of show where you could plug in new people. If you got the right type of fit, you could do okay.
Yeah. I mean, I hope that's not the case anytime soon, but yeah, I'm you know, because I would like to stay on the show for a while. But, you know, I mean, there's always that. I don't know if you ever watched the Waltons in the later years, like when suddenly these kid actors who like, didn't really necessarily grow up to be the best actors,
right, and
suddenly the stars of the show. It's like, what? You know, I mean, I don't want it to morph into something like where, you know, suddenly it's like, you know, Meredith has more to say than anybody else on the show.
It's like when Klinger had the biggest role on MASH at the very end.
And please don't ever do an After Office. Like after MASH.
Maybe this is a spinoff. Meredith's going to have a show called The Bar.
The last thing,
The Bar.
About football. You like football, right?
I do like football. Although I got to tell you, I'm kind of out of it in football. My uncle was a very big football coach in Philadelphia. He coached high school football for 30 years at LaSalle. So I feel like I kind of grew up on it, but I was, my family is definitely like college and high school are better than the pros, and I gotta tell you I'm from Philadelphia, so I loved Invincible, and that was the Eagles that I knew, you know, Vince Papale. I mean,
that's the Mark Wahlberg movie, right?
Yeah. Right, mm-hmm. Right. I mean, man, that was like getting into a time machine when I saw that movie.
And so you're a big Eagles fan.
Well, I was, although I was in 1981 when they didn't win.
Well, they were kind of good then, weren't they? Coming off.
Yeah. I mean, we were in the Super Bowl, absolutely. But they, you know, and then the game happened. It was just terrible.
All right, well, let's see. Pick this game, please, for us: Green Bay and Dallas.
You know, God, I'm so out of it. I'm going to pick Green Bay.
Okay.
Because they just beat the Bears. I was just in Chicago.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so that's your first pick.
All right, what's the second pick?
Well, that, Mike, that's the only game.
That's the only significant game.
That's the biggest game of the week, and we wanted Kate to pick the biggest
game.
Very
good, I'm glad.
So your pick is Green Bay by how many, Kate?
Two touchdowns.
God, I hope nothing happens to Favre.
There, me too.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. That's not going to happen if Favre's not in the game.
It has been wonderful having you on the show. You really
Thank you so much.
We really have enjoyed talking.
And we wish you all the best of luck getting back to work because, you know, everybody wants, more than anybody else on TV, want to see your show back on the air.
Thank you so much. And you know something? A lot of us are keeping up. We have MySpace pages, so you can go to myspace.com/KateFlan with one N and talk to me there. I also write the office blog for TVGuide.com, although I was doing it every week when we had a new episode. Now that we don't have episodes, I'm not writing as often. But
well, good luck with that, Kate.
Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great day.
See you. Thank you, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. See, that was like an office joke we just did on her.
It was, actually.
Nobody
that
laughed.
Was so beautiful.
Nobody laughed.
It
nobody.
Was, wasn't it?
Right, right. It was.
It was total That's office right. style. I had to bite my lower lip. I did have to bite my lower lip on that
She'll
one.
She'll appreciate it one day.
That's an office style joke.
Someday she will.
Oh, God.
See, now, if there was a laugh track, she would have known. And, hey,
spoil it.
How about, is she the first celebrity to just come out and say she's not heard good things about Leah?
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I mean, she was so spontaneous that you know it was sincere.
Yeah. And we are so petty. If we talk to anyone who's in any way attached to television,
right.
Don't we always ask them what they think about
Almost
Leah?
Almost always. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Leah on The Office.
Groovy. Buzz Burbank.
Yes.
Buzz.
I'm right. The oldest man in the world.
That's me.
I know that we do have, while that was happening, we were talking to the chick from The Office. Mm-hmm. Maybe a lot of you heard about the Sean Taylor news, and also there's other news about a bomb threat. Let's go to Buzz.
A lot of
now.
Breaking news today. The biggest would be the hostage situation at Clinton headquarters in Rochester, New Hampshire. A man walked in today with what he said was a bomb strapped to his chest, took a couple of people hostage. He has and demanded to see Hillary Clinton. She's not available in New Hampshire. She's in Virginia today for a Democratic National Convention meeting, their annual fall meeting. Now the guy has released a couple of hostages, but there's still a standoff. We don't know if that was the last of the hostages. We're waiting to hear and keep an eye on it.
And we don't know whether they're Crayola crayons that he has wrapped around.
No, we don't know if it's real or not, but he says he has a bomb, so we go with that.
All right, and the Sean Taylor update is?
They've arrested three suspects in the Sean Taylor case, a couple of guys in their 20s and a teenager from Fort Myers, Florida. Fort Myers. The story is that they heard that Sean Taylor had a lot of money, so they planned a burglary. That's the story that we have so far.
Wow.
You know, as we said when it happened, if that's the case, then even more of a tragedy than we thought.
Right.
Yeah. They came across, from the Gulf Coast over to the East Coast to do this. And I guess are the cops saying that they're warning the press to be very careful right now about what they release because there'll be more information coming?
And they have been since the Chiefs news conference the other day, warning the reporters to be very careful about this. And police need to be careful, too. We just have to wait and see how all of this plays out.
Yeah, you also have to understand that if the cops come out and say something like, we are sure it was not a home invasion, or we were sure that this guy was not. The cops don't have to at this point tell anybody the truth publicly if they're trying to investigate and get people to come out from under the woodwork.
They can say whatever they want.
Well, that sucks. That's unfortunate.
It does. It
really does.
Okay, well, let's see what this is.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'd make a good husband.
I bet this is the Fred Rogers guy.
I bet.
Will you marry me?
This is Forrest Gump now.
Mm-hmm. Fred?
Got your ladder.
What, Forrest?
Hello.
Hi, Forrest. How are you?
My name's Forrest Gump.
We
People
said that.
Call me Forrest Gump.
How you doing, retard?
Just said.
Now, my mom always told me that miracles happen every day.
It would be a miracle if you could make me some goddamn popcorn. How about that?
Some people don't think so, but they do.
Forrest, we're starving here.
Yes, sir.
We're very hungry.
You know what we want.
What did I tell you earlier?
What did you tell us earlier?
That is a great name.
He's someone else now, and I'm not quite sure who it is.
Maybe it's not the...
Joe Fox.
Maybe Joe Fox. That's a Tom Hanks soundboard. Oh. This has to be the Fred Rogers guy.
Just call me Joe.
No. It's the Fred Rogers guy. Where's our popcorn? Where's
Lady Elaine? You like to hear me tell a joke.
Where's Lady Elaine?
Knock, knock.
All right, I'll bite. Who's there?
Lady Elaine.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, that joke worked up a real hunger among all of us.
I heard you were sick.
Nope, just hungry.
I was just making some popcorn.
There you go. Thank you.
Complete.
What a wonderful playlet. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was funny.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm not really sure what this tape is. Joe just brought this in. Somebody on TV. Joe, are they looking at a picture of the president? President Bush?
Yeah, they're talking about Bush meeting with Sarkowski or whatever that French guy is.
French Prime Minister.
Right.
And it's some woman describing them getting together, and hilarity ensues.
Okay, here we go.
Well, Nicholas Sarkozy.
What channel, Joe?
I think it's MSNBC.
Thank you. I apologize, Buzz.
That's all right.
What a slap in the face that would be. I accidentally called Joe Buzz.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice.
Oh, what a slap.
It's all right.
Anyway, here it is.
Well, Nicolas Sarkozy is in China, which, of course, is also trying to become a financial capital of the world. And in honor of his visit, the Chinese have announced $30 billion of deals. There he is. I mean, who could not have a man crush on that man? I'm not talking about the monkey either. I'm talking about the other one.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
The monkey? The monkey? What's she talking about?
Wait. Monkey Bush. In the middle. All right.
I don't know. What's she talking about, Willie? You know, I think she's still jet lagged.
That's my president. I don't know who she's talking
about. Well, I know she's not talking
about. Why are you talking
about
Angela Merkel like that? I don't understand. All right.
Yeah, she's attacking Merkel. She's our ally in a time of war. Yeah, listen, my dear, let me tell you something. When I'm jet lagged, I just take Ambien, some Tylenol PM, and I sleep it off, yeah. Okay?
It was my stop in Riyadh, and it just made me insane. Yeah. Thanks.
One, two, three, four.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
So, this is funny, then,
This is funny,
Yep, that's a good one.
I just have to wear a diaper.
Smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Without your listenership, we'd have to shower in tomato juice.
It's okay to hate someone as long as they're different than you.
Don't just look at it. Eat it. It's the Don and Mike Show.
All right. Eat it. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Don.
And Mike and Buzz and Rob, we're all here. Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
What?
Well, while you guys are waiting on this guy, it's been a crazy busy in here today, and the latest breaking news is that Evel Knievel has died.
What?
Even Evel Knievel.
I was going to tell you guys.
No longer with us. I know.
I've never quite heard that kind of reaction to a celebrity death.
I know.
Show's over.
Yeah, we got to go.
That's it.
We can't go on.
You expect us to continue?
There's just no need.
Go get that tape.
Tribute reel? The tribute reel?
Go get our tribute reel.
I will.
Much like CBS News, we have them all ready to go.
It's out there under K for Knievel. We got it ready to go.
You got it, Rob? We spent a lot of time putting this together. Here we go.
All right, very good. Here it is, the tribute.
Hey, would you please pull up Amazing Grace?
You bet, Don.
You know that really good one?
I think that's appropriate.
From American Idol?
Amazing Grace.
Our tribute.
How sweet.
To E.K.
The sound.
Hi, this is Evel Knievel. I'm here in Washington, D.C. with my son, Robbie. Robbie, would you ever listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara?
No.
Neither would I.
That's eerie.
Like me.
Evel,
but now
Snake River Canyon.
Oh, the fountain,
Caesar's Palace.
Fountain,
yeah, baby.
I see.
Ooh. Buzz, I have to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Was he, and this may seem to be a stupid question, was he jumping over anything?
Not at the time, no.
All right.
You know, he was actually in the news this week.
Really?
He buried the hatchet. He was suing Kanye West.
Oh, that's right. I had read that.
Because Kanye West had his styled leather jumpsuit in a video where Kanye West was going to jump over a canyon.
Right.
And so Evil was going to sue him, but they met just like last Saturday. I guess now that all of his affairs were in order.
God needed a dear devil.
That's for sure.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
God needed the dear devil.
Hello.
Hi, boys. I was just calling to tell you about Evel Knievel.
Yeah, well, as you heard, we've gone into our all tribute mode.
Great.
Again, here is
more beautiful.
Here is the tribute that we took a lot of time putting together.
The sound.
Hi, this is Evel Knievel. I'm here in Washington, D.C. with my son, Robbie. Robbie, would you ever listen to Don Geronimo and Michael Mara?
No.
Neither would I.
Goosebumps. Boy, oh boy. Natural causes, the age of 69.
What I remember most about Evel Knievel was the goddamn Snake Canyon River jump.
Snake River
and Canyon. Whatever it was, everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Sure.
What a letdown. It was on ABC's Wide World of Sports on a Saturday. And it was like, he's going to jump the canyon in a rocket. And the thing goes like 1 foot over the edge. And the little parachute thing comes out.
And he slowly descends into Snake River Canyon. And that was it.
That was
the end of that.
It was like the toy that we all had when we were kids. the little green army man that had the parachute.
Right.
And it really only worked the first time you threw it up.
Right.
And it came down. Because once those strings got tangled up, Jack.
And you realized that when you saw him floating down into Snake River Canyon, that if he had made it across, that probably would have killed him. Because, I mean, if he'd had enough velocity to make it across, I mean, how do you land in a rocket? You don't land in a rocket.
It would have been the greatest moment of his career.
You crash in a rocket, you know?
As a boy, I had the Evel Knievel friction motorcycle toy, and I think that's how I'll always remember
it. And that's the thing that would actually do the jumps.
And you would crank it up and go, ying, 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 and off it would go. So when I think of Evel, I will think of an 8-inch tall Evel.
A wonderful toy.
A great toy.
A toy for a boy.
A red, white, and blue toy from the Christmas of our bicentennial.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
And yet just a man.
Hello.
Hi.
Guys, you want to talk to a good friend of mine? This is the drunk baller from Wichita.
Who is this?
The drunk guy from Wichita.
Oh.
Bye!
I speak for everyone collectively. We tire of you.
Not on a day of
unless morning. He's making popcorn.
We'd rather hear from Tom Gavin than you, but Tom, don't call. Hi, Don and Mike Show. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing very well, buddy.
I was wondering, did you guys hear about the Hillary Clinton? She's having a hostage situation.
Come on.
When you see news breaking, wait 24 hours. Then don't call. The Don and Mike Show.
What do you think I do?
Now, hold on. We've reached one of the... Stop. Turn down your radio. We've reached one of the beautiful moments in the show when Buzz is going to take on one of our listeners in a cage match.
Absolutely.
Buzz?
Seriously. I'm here. Buzz Burbank here on the Don and Mike Show. What do you think my main job, my main function here is?
I have no clue, buddy.
Some days neither do I, but really it's news. Really it's to keep an eye on the news. And that's what I do.
We got a guy to do that. I tell you what, the next time that you pop a hemorrhoid, you call us.
Yeah, because we won't know about that unless you have reporters standing outside of your house.
And for God's sake, stop calling us buddy.
Mm-hmm. All right, buddy.
Or just keep the radio turned up real loud, because in about a minute, you're going to hear me say, you're a dumb ass.
He loves that.
Thing, buddy.
That's what he's craving.
And then you're going to laugh, that insecure laugh, and you're going to say, buddy. And
you know what makes this call even dumber?
Right.
The fact that you know where he heard about that? He heard about the hostage thing on this show and then called us to tell us about it. That's how dumb this guy is.
You think so?
I think there's potential.
Possible.
Listen to what he's got cranking in the background. He said,
listen to him.
Oh, man. There's a Hillary hostage situation. I just heard Buzz talk about it. I better call Don and Mike. Help me.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Bye!
Oh, my God. Hello there.
Don and Mike.
That's our names. Hi, don't wear them out. I've said that already today. My apologies. Hi.
Hey, I was wrestling with my brother and cousin the other day, and I...
Right, we heard that. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Happened to us all.
You know, Mike, hold on. We just got to stop ourselves.
Yes.
As we take these phone calls. Mm-hmm. And I said I apologize because I threw out some dumb catchphrase there that I had used earlier. Mm-hmm. I've lost my train of thought. We must all think now, W-W-E-D. What would evil do?
He would handle those calls just the way you had.
Mm-hmm. With aplomb?
Mm-hmm. He would cut them off at the knees just like you had.
Cut them off. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Just like a malfunctioning Six Flags ride.
This is crazy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hate to bring that up during Dan Snyder's tough times.
Yeah, but, you know. Sean
Taylor
it's
sucked.
The truth.
Yeah, that's all that needs to be said.
What?
Sean Taylor sucked. That's all that needs to be said.
Oh, now, I love this. You're a big guy that wants to say something. We have your number on caller ID, so don't be a runaway guy.
Oh, I'm not being a runaway guy. Okay. I mean, Romo's taking care of business.
What does that have to do with Sean Taylor?
Because, I mean, it doesn't even matter if he's dead or not.
What are you talking about?
That's what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
You're not making any sense.
The Redskins got nothing.
What does that have to do with Sean Taylor?
I keep changing the subject.
And what does it have to do with Tony Romo?
And Tony Romo is way better than Sean Taylor.
Well, Sean Taylor has passed away, so I'd say just about everyone breathing on the planet has got a leg up on Sean Taylor.
Only to certain people.
What are you talking? Please, once again, try to explain yourself. I know you think you're having the best time you've ever had, but really, for the benefit of those that may be tuning in this afternoon, why don't you explain yourself?
I'm just trying to say that the world should feel cleaner for now not having Sean Taylor in it.
Wow.
Why is that, sir?
Because, I mean, it was a filthy situation.
It was. In what way was it a filthy situation?
Because it was like a DODVDA scene, you know? It was out of control.
It was like a what thing?
A DODVDA scene.
What is a DODVA scene?
DODVDA.
What is that?
Double oral. Just you know, just think about that. After I put the double oral there, there's got to be something else that follows.
Like what?
He's making a porno reference.
What does that have to do with Sean Taylor?
Really, I don't really know.
Yeah, see, it's on you now. You brought it up, so why don't you have the balls to finish it?
I think I just did finish it.
No, it's clear you don't know what you're talking
about.
No,
you really didn't. You're afraid to. Actually, you think you're brave, but you're really not.
I mean, I think I already described myself, you know, or, you know, defined myself.
You already described yourself?
Well, the world is a better place without him.
Why?
So that's what you think about Sean Taylor.
Why is the world a better place without Sean Taylor?
Thug. Thug. It's called natural selection.
How would you like if we posted your phone number on the Black Panther message board?
I've already been there. I own it.
You own it. Hey, how about if I give your phone number out so maybe people who maybe don't agree with you
could engage you in spirited debate, chat?
Because I, you know, I normally I accuse Mike of this way too much, but I feel that you're playing the race card. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm stupid.
Oh, no.
I get the feeling you're playing the race card.
No. I hate all equally.
Well, let me ask you this then. Who are you to judge somebody that you don't even know? And I assume you don't know this individual.
Because I can tell you, after talking to you for about 3 minutes, the world would be a much better place without you.
See, that's a possibility.
Well, I think it's a pretty obvious possibility listening to
you. What would the world be like?
What's that? You want to take a deep breath
horrible.
And try to get a sentence out? You're having trouble now speaking. You're having a great deal of difficulty getting sentences out of your mouth.
It sure would be too bad if someone broke into your home in the middle of the night and shot you.
Well, that wouldn't happen because they wouldn't do that to me.
That would end a bad situation.
Oh, really? So you're confident that you can cruise through life without any tragic situation happening to you?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part. What was that?
I made myself real clear. You think you can walk through life without stuff happening to you?
Listen, there are jerk-offs like you that call our show all the time, and we dance around this all the time. You call from Wichita, Kansas.
You're hey, thousand... what's wrong with Wichita?
Because I got your phone number, you stupid ass.
I know you. God, I know that. I said, what's wrong with Wichita?
What I'm saying is, you are... shut up. You are thousands of miles away from where any of this is happening, and you think this is the internet, and you think that you can call this show, and you can say something that I know what you're saying, it's borderline racist, and you can get away with it. And you can't. And you can't say, I hate equally, because you think that's what we say. You're a dumbass racist. And if there was a God in the world, I would give out your phone number and ask everyone listening to call you and tell you what they think of your idiotic internet sensibility, your lack of accountability, you freaking coward. You deserve to have someone break into your house in the middle of the night and cut your head off.
Hey, all I got to say is OG-triple-OG, I'm out.
I'm tired of dicks like that calling the show, mm-hmm. dancing around, no repercussions.
Right.
Seriously.
You know, there are occasionally things on the show that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's violence.
Everybody yeah. heard.
That's violence as yeah. far as I'm, that's violence, that's crap.
Everybody heard what that guy's underlying tone was, and I'm tired of being the clearinghouse for morons with goddamn bass backwards agendas. Sean Taylor, thug. Right. I know you just couldn't say the N-word on the radio.
That's what he wanted to do. That's what he wanted to do.
I'm serious. This guy is the douchebag of the week. I don't care if you're black, bright, white, yellow, Chinese. He is a stupid MF-er, and he thinks he can do something like that.
And he thinks he's so goddamn brave, and he's not.
With no consequences. Not to say that you cannot call a radio show and speak your mind. You can. But I'm tired of these idiots calling us up with these sneak attacks, and we got to figure out ways to try to smooth it over
right.
or delete it out. I'm tired of it. The guy's a jerk off. Mm-hmm. Guy's an idiot. The guy deserves to have everyone that was listening to this show, all 25 people, call him all weekend long.
Amen. That's a son of a bitch that deserves it.
Yep.
Sure does. He better start sleeping with a machete under his bed at night.
God, what a prick. And you know, it happens more often than not. It really does.
It's always a guy like that.
Always a guy that thinks he's so, so brave.
Snarky.
Punk. You know, that his insensitivity is just about the coolest thing that he can do. That his lack of concern for somebody else is just about the funniest, greatest thing in the world.
And really, we don't
and he
have,
can hide, and he can hide behind his telephone.
We don't have any way to retaliate against that except what we just did.
I mean, really, picture that guy saying that in a crowded room.
He wouldn't.
You know?
He wouldn't
have the balls.
He's a coward.
But yet he can come on and be heard by millions of people.
And sometimes we are put in a precarious position. What are we supposed to do?
Right.
Are we going to beat the guy up again? Are we going to do the dance until we finally get the N-word out of him and we
no,
have to
you know, but
delete it out?
He wasn't going to do the dance at all. He knew exactly what he was doing from the word go.
Jesus Christ. I mean, listen.
From the word go.
Seriously, if you want to call the show and you want to say, Sean Taylor is a thug and he got what he deserved, you are welcome to call and say that. We will hang up on you. We will say, thank you for calling. We agree. We do not disagree. Whatever the case. But you don't call the show and say, hey, Sean Taylor.
The world's better place without him.
Thug.
Yeah. And of course, this is an individual that isn't listening to any of the news today.
Right.
Which, it seems to me, mm-hmm. at least at this point, is moving in the direction of...
He was a victim.
...of the fact that he was a victim. And you know what? All you do is you can base your opinions on what comes out and what
people
say.
And I still maintain we still don't know the whole story.
Right.
Right.
You know, I'll say that we still don't know the whole story.
True.
No, we don't. And we don't. And the police are actually being very careful to tell reporters not to speculate on this.
But the point here is that you cowards, you hairless cowards who think you're hiding behind a keyboard, I got news for you. When you call this show, you're not. You're really not hiding.
Good. Good.
Jerk off.
Not a safe haven.
Should be a price to pay for that.
Not a safe haven.
Hope you get lots of phone calls. Hope you get lots of phone calls in the middle of the night. The night.
And the attitude is really, from somebody like that, nothing can happen to me.
Snarky. Snide.
Nothing can happen to me. You know, so I can sit there and get my jollies.
I'm above it all.
By really just indicating that I, you know, I'm such a tough guy. I'm so tough.
No, this is not an internet chat room where you can make up a name and put a fake IP address. You stupid ass. You called us with the phone number. You dumb ass.
You know, we do live in an era of lack of accountability. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether it's, and the internet has a lot to do with it also.
Yeah, I know that.
But, you know, I'm glad it didn't happen here today.
Yep, me too.
There's a little accountability here today. Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Including ours. You know, and I agree with you.
And for God's sake.
Take the bullet on that one, as far as I'm concerned.
You know, what does Evel Knievel think of all this?
Exactly.
Here we are, and, you know, we are just beginning
our
healing process.
And I only hope that Evel Knievel gets as much coverage as Sean Taylor does.
Evel Knievel, quite the legend.
I hope in all sports they all wear stickers
mm-hmm.
on their helmets and their jerseys.
Right.
And
was he estranged from his son or not? Were they together at the end? Because it was always, wasn't it, even when they came on our show together, it was always kind of abrasive between those two. And then they'd have times when they weren't speaking to each other.
You know when they were back together was when Robbie Knievel was doing those jumps on Fox.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
remember when they had him doing like live jumps?
The last big one that I think, he might have done the Caesar's Palace jump.
The old man was there for those,
right.
I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, and the last jump was when he jumped the Grand Canyon. Because remember he got a deal with the Indians and he was allowed to jump a piece of it?
Oh, that's right, he did jump the Grand Canyon. He did jump the Grand Canyon. Motorcycle jumping equals funny. And sure you can't slice it any other way. Motorcycle jumping. Funny.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Like, hey, guys.
Funnier than that X Games guy with the bike.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd much rather see Evel Knievel go upside down in front of Caesar's Palace
right.
than see the X Games guy 50 feet in the air taking a header.
Well, the funny thing about a motorcycle jump, you know, especially back in the day, you know, everybody would express this shock and dismay. Well, jumping over 65 buses, you know, there is a tiny bit of risk factor there.
And it would always come apart the way a dragster comes apart.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean, like, yep. The parts go 8 million miles, and you see that old, like, 1969 film.
Where he bounces up, and you literally see that he has broken every bone in his body. Yeah. You know what? Hey, he was the original.
He was
the original. Evel Knievel. You're talking about the Caesar's Palace jump where they show that.
The famous one.
Amazing camera shot, even though it's all grainy.
Bounces and bounces.
And you see, you know, the arms akimbo.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Don and Mike show. What's happening?
Hey, guys. I'm Jason from Baltimore. Hey, as soon as Buzz announced that Evel Knievel is dead, I called my brother because he was our childhood hero, and I had the same game that Robbie had mentioned, and I just so sad that he's gone. But when I was about 18 years ago, I was working as a bar back down Baltimore, and he came into this Hooper's off near Pier 6, and he was all drunk drinking Miller Lite and Crown Royal Chaser, and he was calling his I hope I can say the P word, he was calling his wife and his son. He goes, oh, they're just a bunch of pussies, blah blah blah. He was sloshed. We were probably backwards if he was going forward. He was so sloshed and broken.
That's another beautiful tribute to
tributes are pouring in, Don.
Yeah, but I'm going to miss all the tributes, though.
Bye!
I know that you'll want to watch the major networks because I'm sure they'll rerun either Viva Knievel, the movie in which he starred in, or the biopic in which he was played by George Hamilton.
And you know all this. I'm just realizing that your connection now is the Elvis connection.
A little
because
bit.
Because Evel Knievel and Elvis.
Looks like Elvis.
Yeah, they did that whole
like
thing.
Him.
And also, he was what was going on when I was 5 and 6 years old. The Evel Knievel toys.
Well, between your tribute and the caller from Baltimore, I think we've covered it.
We're set.
Safe home, Evel.
Hi, this is Evel Knievel. I'm here in Washington, D.C. with my son, Robbie. Robbie, would you ever listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara?
No.
Neither would I.
And we had a damn good time when they were on our show.
Yeah, that was okay.
He was ornery. That's what I remember about Evel Knievel.
Full of piss and vinegar.
He definitely was.
Anyone else named Evel?
Hey, in the world?
Yeah.
I can think of.
Think so. I have one that comes to mind.
Last name Hughes?
You know, once again, our brain is working on the same level.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gay sex, whoa.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Great audio. Julia Roberts going nutty when the paparazzi are chasing her in her car.
She's a high-strung lass.
Here she is now.
Julia, how are you?
Hi. You can turn your video camera off.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk to you about the fact that you're at a school where children go. Turn it off.
The Don and Mike Show.
Give me just a little more time.
That bitch!
The comedy stops here. Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
That was funny.
You think so, Clyde?
Very inappropriate, amigo.
So sorry. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I'm talking Mike.
I'm here.
You hear about the Boston Red Sox trade?
Oh, you got to be lying. I know that up to the minute. Go ahead, lie to me.
Jacoby Ellsbury, Justin Pedroia for Johan Santana.
Yeah, liar, liar. Couldn't be more of a lie.
Is that the guy from the Minnesota Twins?
Yeah, that's the pitcher of the Minnesota Twins, and the Red Sox just gave up their starting center fielder and their rookie of the year second baseman for Johan Santana.
Right.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Oh, there we go. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
What's going on?
Little radio show. What are you doing?
Not a whole lot.
Good. Thanks for calling.
Another stutter call.
Yeah.
Stutter call.
I mean, I realize that we're as much at fault for answering.
Yes.
Perhaps even more than you are for calling, but what can we do for you?
Don, I couldn't disagree more. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're at fault at all.
Right. What could we do for you?
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, let me try it again.
Shy?
Hey, dumbass, why'd you call?
Well, I can't understand because you guys keep talking over each other.
Oh, dear. It's
we got one of these guys.
Another one with no Friday plans.
Are you another guy that wants us to ruin your life by giving your phone number out or putting it on the internet or something?
No, I just wanted to let you know that Robert Goulet died. You might not have heard yet.
That was the purpose of the call. You could have gotten to your little joke so early in the phone call. Are you enjoying yourself?
I wish we were laughing that hard.
I really was trying to make your day. I mean, everyone coming in with breaking news, I thought this would be something.
The only breaking news that would make our day would be is if you were inside Robert Goulet's anal cavity.
And, right, as he is now.
Yes, and then you died.
What would that sound like, too? That would be,
Jesus, I'm still alive. I'm still alive. Please, someone let me out of here.
How dare you trash the great Robert Goulet.
That's right, another friend of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, Vera. Boy, the same three-week period, Goulet and Knievel.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, guys, breaking news from CNN. Hillary Clinton has taken Evel Knievel hostage in New Hampshire.
Now, see,
now that's,
if you get right to it, there's no problem at all.
Look at that. There's nothing but love there.
It's all about the process.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, my name's Sean. I'm calling from Wichita. I was wondering if I could get that other guy's telephone number.
I already gave it out. I can't spend all day giving out the guy's phone.
A fantastic weekend, though.
Did you just say SHI?
He did.
You did.
He did.
God.
Shaw.
Happy holidays.
Shaw.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi.
Wish I was. Seriously. What's happening?
Everything old is new again.
Who is this?
This is Don and Mike, the guys you are calling, the guys that you're listening to on the radio.
All right, Don, listen. I just wanted to comment on the song that you played at the beginning when you first came in to, at 3 o'clock. Yeah. I love that group, the Kings. You never, ever hear that group or song anywhere.
Right. It's an eclectic cut. Thank you.
Number one fan.
I love that.
Thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad we made your weekend.
Number one fan.
Thank you, fellow Homo sapiens.
Bye-bye. See you later.
It's so long. Friend. As we cruise to the weird hour.
Hello.
Cruise.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. Hey, I was just listening to some John Booger Mellencamp.
You know,
anything can happen.
Really, I love him.
Hi there, Dingo and the Baby. Hello.
Yes, it's
Donna
you.
Mike.
Yes, it's you.
Dingo and the Baby Show.
Donna Mike.
Little Girl Fell in the Well Show. Kind of just saying anything that comes out of my mouth show.
It's you, sir. Go ahead. Go right ahead.
All right. You guys have had some terrible callers today, including myself.
Yes, including yourself. That's okay. Thank you. Including yourself. That's good. Yeah.
Including myself. But you've had some seriously racist guys on with the Sean Taylor. I mean, what's going on here?
What?
Is there a big Klan meeting tonight or what?
I don't understand whether there's been anything said that was racist about Sean Taylor.
I don't know if it's
racist or not.
Well, I don't know. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi there.
I just wanted to tell you that Anna Nicole Smith died.
Oh, dear.
Okay. I like the pronunciation of her name as well. Like Anna Nicole Smith. Hello.
Anna.
Hi.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Anna Nicole Smith died.
Hey, Timmy.
How are you doing? Anna Nicole Smith died. And I hope you heard about the evil Knievel story. Very bad after the death of your other good friend, Robert Goulet.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello, guys.
Hi there.
Hi. Mike, I was calling in to say I love your Morgan Freeman.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm glad that when you're enjoying that voice, that whether you are in your car or in your home, that you have a good time.
Oh, yes.
Might I go a step further? Can I ask you, are you hot when I do that voice?
I am.
Are you getting hot right now?
Be the angry.
Yes.
Be the angry principal.
I want to tell you right now, you better be hot every time you hear my voice. Because if you hear my voice, I want you to get moist. That's right. Morgan's voice makes me moist. Repeat after me. Morgan's voice makes me moist.
She's gone.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, I'm glad that she had the time to sit with us. Thank you, Don.
Morgan's voice.
I'll sit right back down.
Makes me moist.
Principal Joe Brown.
He's got... Oh, I know the movie.
Where's your hall pass?
It's the Bucket. The Bucket movie.
That's coming out.
That is all over. You can't go to any showing of any movie and not see the ad. And you already know what it is. It's the cranky, cantankerous Jack Nicholson who has cancer, and Morgan Freeman teaches him to lighten up and...
Well, let me say something.
Live life.
Let me say something right now. If you go to that movie... If you go to that movie...
Yes, Morgan.
And there's a line...
Yeah.
I want you to behave yourselves. I don't want you to cut in line. I don't want you to spill popcorn or put your little fruit candies under the seats.
Isn't that the movie where he was the principal that actually chained the doors shut?
Chained the doors to keep all the scum out of here. This is a place to learn. We're not going to have gangs and thugs coming down the hallways and polluting the minds of our youngsters. Do you all understand me?
We do.
I said, do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. That'll be all.
Morgan?
I'm here, Rob.
I'm sorry, Joe?
Yes, Joe Brown.
Joe Brown.
Have you heard?
Let me ask you something, boy.
Yes?
Have you ever been on a playing field?
I never have.
Have you ever decided to go out there and go to gym? Get yourself in shape. Look at your shirt's hanging out. Tuck that in.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, of course you can.
Have you ever been to a dermatologist?
Yeah, you can pick them off and eat them, as far as I'm concerned. I'm very, very angry. I'm angry at the whole wide world.
Sure.
Have you heard about Knievel?
Evil Knievel.
He's died.
Oh, my God.
You know who took care of him?
Who's that?
Nurse Betty.
Nurse Betty. Hello, Nurse Betty.
Nurse Betty.
Nurse Betty, get in line. Buy tickets to all of my movies.
I was wondering if you could give me a ride somewhere. Drive me somewhere.
I'm going to the Piggly Wiggly. That's right, Miss Daisy. I was taking you to the store. You can call me a hoke.
I was really hoping that we'd be in prison together.
I never knew Don Geronimo, but all I knew was that he was digging a hole in that wall and carrying that wall out to the yard every day. Yes, sirree. Man gets to thinking about things when he's in prison.
Don't forget about, what was the one, not Armageddon, the other one that was like Armageddon.
Where he was the president?
More realistic, where T.L. Leone was the news lady.
And he was the president of the United States, and that's when he talked in a normal voice all the time, neither highs nor lows.
Had to get on TV and say that, you know, the asteroid is coming towards Earth.
But I must say, I do believe this truly, that I think that when I think of Morgan Freeman, I will always enjoy one role more than another.
Which one?
Joe Brown! Mm-hmm. Get your act together. You want to learn or you want to die on the vine? For the love of Pete. For the love of God. Greetings. Greetings to you and Robert the Angry Mailman.
I cannot believe that you sent my son home. My son has to go to school
every day. Son is an incorrigible. If he's an incorrigible and he's not going to school, he's hanging out with the trash outside of school. We operate a learning institution. That's why I carry my baseball bat wherever I go.
It wasn't until you started doing that that movie became a comedy to me.
And now you can always watch it as a comedy. And we're going to get those test scores up above the line.
Oh, that's right.
That's what we're trying to do. Each and every one of you, study your ass off and get those test scores up against the line.
Isn't the plot that he makes the bet, or he wants this, they've got to raise their SAT
they've
levels.
They've got to get our standardized test scores above the line in order to get funding. Otherwise, they're going to shut the school down, and damn it, I wish I knew the name of the school. If I knew the name of the school, I'd give it to you right now.
I believe it was Our Lady, Our Nazi Lady.
Our Nazi Lady of Useless Information University.
It was Bruce Almighty High.
Bruce Almighty.
That's right.
Yeah, that's when I played God. Thank you for that time. I appreciate that.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, hi there.
Hello, is this another soundboard? Hello?
No.
No, it is a soundboard. Hi there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yep.
You know, that phone number did not go out on the air.
You're kidding me.
No, they cut it. It did not go out on the air, the guy from Wichita.
Well, then we'll put it on the front page of our website.
Joe, thank you.
Do it right now, please, Joe. God, I swear. Are they pussies around here?
Oh, they are.
Are they pussies around here?
Is there ever going to be a time when right is on our side?
Like what? That guy's going to call and complain and say, hey, Don and Mike gave my phone number out. Then you listen to the tape of that guy calling the show. Mm-hmm. Who's going to say to that guy, you know what?
You seem like a reasonable individual.
I really don't understand.
You
why
seem
they
like
gave...
a truly reasonable guy.
Uh-huh.
And you seem like a nice guy, a nice innocent kid that had a bad day.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
That's
Hello.
Good thinking.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Hey.
I'm listening to you on the internet. And I opened up, I say, 15 of your streams. I was just seeing wanted to see if you wanted to hear what 15 of you sounded like.
You mean like 15 streams at
you
one
have,
time?
You have yep. 15 different windows open.
Yep.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Here we go.
Otherwise, they're going to smash us what we're trying to do. Each and every one of you, study your ass off and get those news and neighbors up.
Oh, my God.
You know, that to me sounds like a symphony. That just sounds so nice.
Sounds normal. That's what I hear every day.
Just another day.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
No Morgan Freeman role is better than The Easy Reader.
The Easy Reader? I'm not sure I'm familiar with
from
that.
An electric company.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's right.
He was the Easy Reader.
Yeah, good call. Right. He was on that show.
Well, what I'll have to do, I'll tell you what I will do. I'll go back and research that and see if I can find the time when I was reading to youngsters on The Electric Company.
You like that program?
I think it was a good time.
I always enjoyed your spot on the
Don and Mike Show.
Get off the microphone.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, man. Two things. Number one, I think I've got my abdominal workout in for laughing so hard, and I hope this is podcast and put on streaming.
Right on.
But on a serious note, though.
Yes.
This Sean guy who just recently died, I just really wish that they would give the troops that are getting their heads blown off on a daily basis equal credit.
That's a fair point. I think we've made that earlier.
Yeah. So
thank you, my friend.
It's good to say.
I congratulate you, and you have won a full scholarship to Eastern High School in Patterson, New Jersey.
That's it.
That's your school.
Congratulations. Make sure you get there on time, otherwise the doors will be chained.
Goddamn cowards we work with. I swear to God, man. Cowards, cowards, cowards. Hit the delay button. Gee, can you imagine in the court of public opinion?
Mm-hmm.
Forget the fact that we may have to pay to get the guy's telephone number changed. Right. Big deal.
Oh, wait. We might have a change in the high school.
What, a correction?
Hold on a bit. We might have gotten it wrong. Joe's gotten a few.
Have to be detention.
Yeah, that's right.
I have a correction to make, what? And Joe Ottinger brought me the wrong information because he didn't study hard enough for his SAT score.
What is it, Principal Brown?
It's Eastside High School from Paterson, New Jersey.
Thank God that's straight.
Do Joe, do you know the Eastside fight song? Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about this. Forgot about this part, too, of the movie.
Hello? Hello, this is Joe Brown. I'd like everybody to line up right now. You know we haven't done well on these test scores. So what I want you to do, I want you to line up shoulder to shoulder, and I want you to learn that fight song. You understand me? Tuck that shirt in. Stand straight. Stand up straight. Thank you very much. I'm driving you to the store, Miss Daisy.
Do you know... You go ahead and stay on the bowl.
Thanks so much, Don.
Do you know who was on Larry King last night?
I do not know. I did not watch that. I was watching a football game that a friend of mine was interested in.
As was I. Rob just gave me a disc that Wayne Newton was on the entire hour with Larry King.
Donk a shame, darling. Donk a shame, Daddy. Don't you walk so fast.
And he talked about Johnny Carson, about that whole big thing with Johnny Carson saying he's queer.
It's all over the place. They attack the Carson thing. He talks about the troops, and he talks about how, did you know that on his last dance on Dancing with the Stars, he had pneumonia and congestive heart failure?
I've got pneumonia and congestive heart failure. It's not keeping me out of Eastside High School.
Hey, Morgan.
What's that, Rob?
Did you know that Wayne Newton almost died in a plane wreck once?
I had no idea. That's the kind of useless knowledge that won't get you anywhere, boy.
It'll get him somewhere at our Nazi Lady.
Our Nazi Lady of Useless Information University.
Right.
I'm going to put a chain on the door there.
All right, now I'm getting tired of talking on this megaphone.
All right, we got a break. We come back. We'll listen to the Larry tapes.
That's a good idea, Don.
You know what else we've not done today?
What's that?
We've not called bars in Green Bay to be the ghost of Lombardi today. Yeah.
That's funny. But that is really funny.
Ooh, scared Packer fans.
Very, very scary. That's a very scary thing. Hi.
Why
do you favor rape? Hi, it's Lake King.
Why do you favor rape?
I think I'm going to do my show with a bullhorn.
Why men's rooms?
Because I like them.
Why?
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 Hi, Larry.
Why?
My brother.
That was funny.
Jesus Christ. What's his name, my brother?
Larry.
Yes.
Larry and
Marty.
Marty Zeiger.
Thank you very much.
Okay, break.
It's time to break right now. I said it's time to break. Press the button.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
What not?
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We have a technical problem that in our sound department. It'll take just a second. So I'll just walk around and act like I know what I'm doing.
I'm at home.
We okay? Okay.
Come on, Eddie.
This next song is a story of my life. It's called Fairy Tale.
The Don and Mike Show.
Time for another webisode of the Don and Mike program.
Oh, man, now I'm all emotional.
In 1960, we did a song called It's Now or Never. And it was taken from the Italian song O Sole Mio. I'd like to ask Cheryl to do the Italian version, and then we shall do It's Now or Never. Listen to his voice, ladies and gentlemen.
So, this is funny, then, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This is funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep,
that's a good one.
Funny.
Mysterious visitors from the Orient. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, we'll have an interesting battle to deal with our wonderful company over the weekend to try to figure out once and for all who owns our website.
Yes, yes. These are the things that we struggle with on a daily basis.
I was working under the assumption we owned it since we pay the bills for it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pull it up on the computer, the bookmark shows up CBS Radio.
Yes, it does.
And I swear to Christ, Jack, if there is a bigger pussy on the face of God's green earth than Michael Todd Hughes, I do not know who he is.
We are very frustrated. When you get calls like that, it is very frustrating.
That's it. That's all I want to say. I mean, I'd like to say a lot. I can't. Right. Michael, shame on you. You got no balls at all. You don't support our show in any way to begin with. Come on, let's face it. You don't do S for our show. You don't care about our show. We're here. We're revenue generators. We're miles away, which frankly is the way that we wanted it. So that's fine. But you can't distance yourself from us when we need you to support the show.
And I think right is on our side on this one.
You know, because this is the quote, because it all goes through intermediates during the commercials. Mm-hmm. Well, Hughes says that technically CBS kind of owns the website, and if you put a douchebag's phone number on the website, well, then the company really can't stand behind you. Like what? Like if the guy brings the Supreme Court down on us?
I'd like to hear the court transcripts. It would be interesting. Mm-hmm.
We've been through this a million times before. If you give out somebody's phone number and they get calls, they call the radio station and they complain, and the station says, okay, we'll pay to change your phone number.
Right.
What they're really worried about is that this douchebag is going to sue if somehow his phone number gets out. Mm-hmm. And what's his argument going to be? Well, I called up and said some racial things about Sean Taylor.
The world would be, it will be a better place without Sean Taylor. Mm-hmm. That was one of the quotes that I remembered.
And we decided that the only way to fight back was one time, give one of these cowards a taste of their own medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, give out the phone number.
Make them accountable.
You feel like making a statement like that. This is not a clearinghouse for idiots, you know, 4 hours a day.
Yeah, but don't be too hard on the company, Don. There's really no need to be hard on the company.
I won't, Mike, because I love them.
And as I do. With all of my heart and soul. My heart and soul.
Just be nice one time. If they weren't always afraid that we were going to do something that's going to tip the station off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michael, I know you're listening right now with your underpants going all the way up. You can taste them in the back of your throat right now. So think about this. What about if we went with your genius thought to cancel Homovember? Because we might offend, as you called them, a special interest group.
I thought Homovember was a tour de force.
No problem. No problem. But you, Michael, and management wanted to cancel it because you were afraid that things maybe could somehow spiral out of control. What would be the problem if you had to defend? If you're the manager of a radio show and you say, well, we had these two guys. They gave out some douchebag's phone number. But this guy was just calling with stuff about Sean Taylor that was just, it was not right. You know?
And it wasn't. And anybody that listened to that and anybody heard that knows it wasn't right. Right.
So what?
And once in a while, you know, it ain't like we do that every day.
And I guess the question to management is, when is the one time that you're going to stand behind us here? In the time that we have left broadcasting, you've stripped away virtually all of the tools that we have. We're still doing the show. We're not quitting. We're here. We're doing it. But Jesus Christ, how about one time you stand behind us? One time you stand behind us because maybe what we did was right. Maybe we broke a rule, and maybe someone's going to get their wee-wee smacked. That is all you are concerned about, Hughes. You are concerned about the guy in the big chair smacking your wee-wee. You would rather bury your head in the sand about everything that's going on with Mike, about everything that's going on behind the scenes that God knows I'd love to talk about and I can't. And just one time it would be pleasant if we did something that we thought was with good intentions. It would be nice if you at least stepped out on the ledge with us instead of saying, well, I got to run it up the legal flagpole, just like you had to run up the flagpole about Homovember. What legally was wrong with doing a promotion called Homovember? Absolutely nothing. They were just afraid about what might happen.
Because,
as you know, you and I have a big history of doing so many big, scary things that we cause riots.
Yeah. Anyone listening to this show knows our relationship with the gay community, and that's why the show was the way it was. And I didn't see anybody walking out of here after that show for Homovember that didn't have a smile on their face and didn't have a good time.
No, so my point is, again, management is wrong. They just wanted to cancel something without even hearing our side or our presentation, and they were proved wrong. Now, in this case, I believe Hughes even heard it. He said the guy was despicable. Mm-hmm. We just can't do that. Why? Why? I mean, do I got to start another website now on my own just with this guy's phone number?
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm the only guy that is legally out there if some douchebag listener gets his number put out on the air because he was calling saying awful stuff about Sean Taylor? That's okay. I mean, thank God I got enough money for inducing stuff like that. But it would be nice if the company would stand behind us.
It would be.
And say, you know what, hey, maybe you shouldn't broadcast it on the radio, but hey, on the web, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's to stop me from just emailing the phone number to a friend of mine and saying, put this on Radio God's forum? That's a website that has nothing to do with our show. We don't even look at that. It's a fan site that we don't look at anymore because those people are nuts. But what if we gave them the phone number? They're good nuts.
Yeah.
What if we gave them the phone number?
The good nuts. I like that.
What would the legal response be then? Because I guarantee you I'd lie my ass off and say I didn't give them the phone number.
Well, I know you never really would.
Right.
I wouldn't, Mike. But
I know you never would.
And I know you never would.
Wouldn't happen.
But what if someone else did?
Well, we can't control that. We can't always control that.
You know, I mean, here's how they could even pacify us. You know what you do? You waste all this money with these goddamn lawyers. Why don't you have the lawyers call the guy in Wichita and just scare the ass out of him? Say, hey, guess what? You know, this is Linda Feldman, and you're a bad person for calling the Don and Mike show and saying this racist stuff. And we didn't give out your phone number, but we want you to know something. You're just awful.
You know, in a verbal way, isn't that almost like inciting? You know, I'm not a lawyer, but isn't that like inciting?
What the guy was doing? Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, just giggling and saying his little piece with total autonomy and, you know, total.
No accountability, you know, like really. You said.
Anyway, but that's the way the company wants to play it. Because they're all into making good decisions right now. They're all about making good decisions all the time. Who am I kidding? All the time. Every decision is a brilliant decision. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for the guidance. Thank you for once again showing us how we were wrong. Michael Hughes is right. We are wrong. Why try to do anything that breaks the mold in this climate that we're in? Why do anything that, God forbid, someone might hear and complain about? What would happen? Really? What, would the house of cards fall down? I mean, we've been through more crap doing this radio show, radio stuff, in 20 years than Hughes you've been through in 20 lifetimes. Jesus, we have had bowel movements that are bigger problems than this thing.
You can say that again.
And all we're looking for is a little support. How about, hey, guys, throw it up there. Throw it on the web. Go ahead, throw it up. Or how about just one time not hitting the button?
Mm-hmm.
Every time something is said that somebody might think could be taken the wrong way. Don't tell me it's a rule, because rules can be broken.
Where's the rule book?
That's one of the unwritten ones.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, it's one of the unwritten rules.
Because, as you know, you and I are awful guys. We are bad, bad guys. We cannot be trusted. In our over 20 years of working for CBS, a couple of times, yes, we have done stuff that has gotten us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on us. Here's my question. We are nothing to this company. We mean nothing to them. Why can't it be that way all the time? We know that this show.
You mean the good and the bad?
Yes. We know that this show means nothing to CBS. They don't care about it. We're 4 hours a day to fill on some of their radio stations. Why can't you take the same indifference when we're doing something that we give have a rat's ass about? You sure are indifferent when we do good stuff. Jerk offs. Oh. Springtime for Hitler in Germany. That's my coded message. Use it on your Ovaltine Christmas story thing.
You're right.
How you feeling?
Feeling like I might be fine. I'm thinking, if it's going to be that dollar amount, I got a lot I want to get out. It depends if I'm on their clock now or not.
You think they'd let you know that?
No.
No. No, that'll be down the road.
Yeah, I get a certified letter on Monday. Because that's the way to do things around here.
You're killing me. You're killing me.
Oh, but whatever you do, don't give out that guy's phone number.
No.
God, don't do that.
Those are the important things.
Jesus Christ. Why don't you guys talk about the movies coming out this week? Come on, man.
You're the critic. Have you seen a good film, good play? Have you been out and about? Have you gone to a good museum lately? Give us a call right now.
You know, you can only do so much neutering. Mm-hmm. Really, you can only do so much. You know, Opie and Anthony are going through this 1,000 times worse than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that they're now, they delete out the word fart now on their show?
That's un-American.
The word.
That is un-American.
The word. Seriously. Yeah. I mean, I know we got it bad, and they have just Bass Ackroyd's way of governing our shows and all the other shows. But, I mean, really, how long are we going to be the scared broadcasting company? How long until we get a set of nuts? Jesus Christ. Really? Come on. You wonder why people are leaving this medium. And, I mean, listeners. You wonder why? Because everything's homogenized. What happened to the old days when you would say to us, go out and just swing and hit one out of the park?
Mm-hmm.
If there is something that happens, we'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. What happened to those times? How come now everything is so goddamn reactionary and, oh, be careful what you say about this, be careful what you say about that. Don't do this, might do this, might do that, might do this, might do that. How about waiting until we actually do something bad and then come down on us with the fury of hell? You're just always afraid we're going to do something bad.
Well, isn't that part of the magic?
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, he's the only stupid guy that believes it. I mean, we're pretty benign, mm-hmm. as shock radio goes.
True. I think we're nice guys.
I think we're jerks.
I think we couldn't be nicer.
Ah, hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, Don.
Hi there.
This is Michael Hughes Balls, and I've gone on vacation.
Have they gone to area code 316?
You still have it.
Well, of course, I've memorized it.
You memorized it. You committed it to memory.
I tell you what, Hughes, you can't stop me from calling him. There you go. Problem solved.
That might be a fine thing. I'd like the number two.
Got it.
Okay. That will be a fun ride home.
Sure. I got nothing but time.
I cannot think of a better Friday commute.
All weekend long.
I cannot think of a better drive home.
Oh,
I'm going to take on my tough love exterior.
Good for you.
When I speak to that individual.
Yeah. All right. Anyway.
And maybe, who knows? You know, sometimes when you get a phone number, you can arrange a play date.
Anyway, I'm glad we had this time together. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we're not walking out, that we're not flipping out, that we're not screaming. But seriously, Hughes, you're an effing idiot! And we're not going to the El Zol Christmas party. Please. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. How come everything's so quiet now?
Because sometimes...
we're thinking.
No. No, actually, sometimes I'm actually enjoying watching.
Oh. You enjoy watching my head explode?
A little.
Well, you're ruining the industry that I love.
I would say that I'm watching and I'm learning.
You are single-handedly ruining this business that I love and I care about. You are driving people to iPods and to satellite radio. Because you're pussies! Giant pussies! But don't worry, when I'm gone, you can change the format to Fresh 106.7. Because that seems to be the Band-Aid that works this week. All right. Well, let's hit a spot set.
Sure.
Wow.
Well done.
Pretty good, huh?
Do you think well this done. Is inappropriate? I'm just going to go.
No. Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Thank you. Well,
I would have loved to, you know, sometimes I punctuate.
Yeah.
And I would have loved to do that if I didn't, receive instructions earlier today not to. And not from CBS. new lawyers.
You got new lawyers.
Shh.
Oh. Oh, my.
Quiet.
Watch it. You're
quiet.
Pay half of my fine. I just had to delete that out, Mike.
I'm very sorry.
That's how buttoned down I am. Radio.
Radio.
Why have you ruined the only medium, in my opinion, even in this day and age, where you can be so intimate with people and have a relationship with people every day? Let me ask you, Hughes, why do you go out of your way to take away the one-on-one involvement that we have with people? Why, when you have the opportunity to do something that people are going to remember and talk about, and yeah, maybe there will be a little shrapnel around. Well, grow a set, you dingleberry. Seriously. Or we could just track the new U2 album and voice track the disc jockeys. I wonder how Brett's arm is.
Are you there now? Are you at Brett now?
Yeah.
You're at Brett now?
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
Poor Brett. My head feels like his arm.
He's going to be fine.
You'll both bounce back.
Okay, well, here's commercials. And then we'll be back with something that's probably slightly less awkward. And if I'm not here, you know, it's been a slice.
A slice of heaven.
A slice of paradise.
Of course.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Whoa, look out! Look out!
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter in her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, folks, that's all the buzz we have for you today.
Buzz! It's all about the buzz.
You, me, bar, beers, buzz.
I did you a favor. You do me a favor. Honey, I've got to have some marijuana.
Habla funny? Don Geronimo y Mike O'Mara.
Mommy boobies.
This is funny, Zen, y'all. Yeah. Yeah, this is funny, y'all. Yeah. Yep, lots of good fun.
That was funny.
Funny.
That was funny.
Without your listenership, we'd have to shower in tomato juice.
Maybe we decided that we just we'll go to buzz at 6 o'clock.
Can I break in with a breaking news story of my own that I want to say before Buzz gets to the news?
Sure. Yes,
a 12-year-old girl in Virginia made honor roll for first semester this year, and I wanted to say, what's the name? Yes, Catherine O'Mara. Catherine O'Mara, honor roll first semester.
That is good
way to
news.
Get the year started on the right foot. Thank you very much.
I hear she gets it from her pops.
Oh, yes, yes. Her academic prowess. Let me see. When did I make honor roll?
Let me see.
You know what? I made it 1974, never.
Didn't you make it in 1970, never?
1970, never. Congratulations, Catherine. Way to go.
Let me see. Rob, hold on to the Larry King, Wayne Newton tapes.
Oh, yeah.
I will do.
All right, that's a break way to have it on Monday.
I told Johnny Carson I'd knock you right on your ass.
And also, I guess Monday we can call Green Bay still. Sure. Goes to Lombardi.
See how he's doing.
Holiday goes to Lombardi.
And maybe he can drop by and chat with you.
Scared?
Because he really thinks there was no reason for that loss last night.
All right, there's all of that.
He doesn't think Brett should have quit.
No, there's no way Brett should have come out of that
game.
Save
that for next week. Are you going to any last thing I have before we go to the news here, Buzz?
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Of course, with Buzz.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Yes, I am. Let me see. Men's health. Uh-huh. If you're doing any shopping or any partying or any Christmasing this weekend.
Yes. Right.
Here are the things that turn women on.
Oh, good.
Like when you're out and about shopping, parties, uh-huh. Anything in the season.
Let me get a pen.
Correct. The first thing that they like. And I'll give them to you in backwards order.
All right.
Okay.
The top 10 things they like.
You're going from bottom to top?
The way you like to, Mike. This one's ridiculous. Making a snowman. That's like if you're in a Hallmark motion picture.
Yeah, well, with global warming, where the hell do you do that?
Exactly.
Alaska?
Anyway, 8 out of 10 women said that they would probably sleep with a guy who was making a snowman.
Wow. I just picture all these single guys
who knew?
With beers and snowmen. I need some more shaved ice out here.
This list is not in order. I apologize. 4 out of 10 women say they would be inclined to have sex with a man who visits his grandma on Christmas.
Oh, that's jive. Now I'm beginning to, I smell a rat with this list.
6 out of 10 women said that they would think, that's the operative word, think, they would think about having
think
sex.
Think about, yes. And part of the other half would think the man was being a total wuss.
6 out of 10 would think about having sex with a man if he bakes Christmas cookies together.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, this is, what is the public? This is Men's Health?
Men's Health.
All right. This is a gay publication.
Along with the snowman.
Gay Men's Health.
8 out of 10 women say that they would think about sleeping with a man if he had a playful, gentle snowball fight with her.
Well, now look. Now that falls into the category of foreplay.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Gentle play.
True.
Because, you know, the snowball fight leads to the tackle into the snowbank,
wrestling,
which leads to, you know, standing up
groping
like that uncle did.
Ice skating. Everybody thinks ice skating would be a good way to get in a girl's pants. Uh-huh. 2 out of 10.
So ice skating not worth it?
No.
All right. Stinky feet.
here's a big one. Huh? 8.5 out of 10.
That's the biggest one so far.
Sitting by the fire. No TV on.
I'm sorry, I'm out. What if you have a fire on the TV? You know, like that fake fire they have?
The Yule log.
The Yule log that they run on Christmas Eve? that does see. Crack me up. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
This is the least sexy one.
All right. Throwing
one,
up?
1 out of 10 women say they would consider having sex with their man after they go out shopping for kids' gifts.
Hmm. Well, that's the thing that everybody has to do.
No, but this is the whole thing. Like, if you make it into a nice, girly type, you
right,
know,
right,
going out or having that, sure, apparently turns chicks off.
Your sensitive side, you care about
zero them. Chicks.
This turns women off. Then
0 out of 10.
Uh-huh.
Watch football.
Oh, see, I disagree.
I
think women can get excited with that.
Hard to believe 0.
9 out of 10 women.
Oh, this is the biggest one so far.
Jewelry.
Well, shocker of shock. Boy, who did the extensive research on this at Men's Health?
9 out of 10 women would think about having sex with the man who gave them jewelry. And this is a high number for the last one. 7 out of 10 women said that they would consider sleeping with a man who dressed up for parties.
Well, that's where I'm in. Because you know that every year.
You put on
that's,
a dress.
Really, that's exactly why I bought the ascot this year.
That's why we call you Captain Velvet.
You know, you come in the velvet. Look, it's
every
a,
color.
It's a velvet jacket. Uh-huh. It's a color of the season. It's either green or it's red.
Right.
Or it's white.
I love the white.
The white is good, but unfortunately it gets stains on it. But
like Britney's couch.
It's the velvet white jacket.
And the pants?
And the pants are also velvet or leather.
Suede.
In the variety of colors.
So oh, bulletin. We've moved on, Michael! He was just very concerned about that.
You're going to be drinking Listerine all weekend.
You know what? I'm telling you. Raw. You know, it's like a quarterback that's played his entire year and can't throw the ball.
Right.
And all of a sudden, now I find I can throw the goddamn ball 60 yards.
It's feeling better.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, it's so like, you know what it is? It's like when you take an engine. And you you work those RPMs up to about 7,000 RPMs.
Blow the carbon off the valves.
Get the carbon off the valves. That's it.
Just firing up. We moved off the topic, Michael. Shut your ass up.
5 minutes.
Get back in your Acura and drive back to your boating community.
1 minute.
And spend this weekend like every weekend. Forgetting the fact that you have anything to do with this show. Because that's the way you've set it up, pal.
We're moving on. We are moving on.
We are moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on, baby.
I only mentioned that because there was a sign held up from the back saying Michael Hughes called to say, move it on.
Uh-huh. Really?
We moved it on!
Of course.
We're talking about girls sleeping with guys. Not about jackass managers ruining a business that I love with my whole heart. God, you bastard! You bastard! Oh, Marconi would kill you.
Dun, 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 dun.
We've moved past.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, transition music.
Wrong one.
No. It's always Alice.
No. The sad Today Show music.
Oh, okay. I'm with you.
Got it?
Yeah.
There you go. So. Well, as you heard, my head's about to pop off today because we've been censored again.
Discussing the shortcomings of radio management, but first, this is Today on NBC.
There go your balls, Michael.
That was a Meredith moment right there, right?
Yeah.
Isn't Meredith the queen of kind of like sneaking that last one in there?
And maybe,
almost when they're going to, you know, the commercials, she just gets her little dig in there.
Oh, and look what time it is, for God's sakes.
Oh, wow.
It's 8 after.
Now, your local on the 8s.
This show is going to be with all the impersonations of this guy you know, this good lady you know. I'm Julia Child. Come on, Mickey Mouse.
All right.
Wouldn't it be great to have Merrill Howard Kalin on the Weather Channel?
We've moved on.
Yeah.
We have.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. Man, it's been a dizzying day in the news business. Half a dozen breaking stories this afternoon.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That's it. A couple of things happened while you were at work today. A man with a history of mental illness took at least 3 hostages at Clinton headquarters in Rochester, New Hampshire, and demanded to see the senator. She was unavailable on the road in Virginia preparing for the Democratic National Committee's annual fall meeting. She canceled her appearances for the rest of the day while police continue still to try to negotiate with the man who, he says, has a bomb strapped to his chest.
Continue, so it's ongoing right now?
Still is.
You know, I hate that because I've seen enough Denzel Washington movies.
You know why? Because Michael Hughes is the detective outside.
He's the hostage negotiator?
He's going, anything you want in there. Please, please, just don't tell corporate about this.
Well, I don't want to pile on, but no, he would be the one saying, make sure that you treat the hostage taker nice.
Or really, wouldn't he be the one in the bank? Wouldn't he be the manager in the bank going, take me?
Right.
I got to get out of here.
Or like the fat guy in Dog Day Afternoon. Clutching his chest.
He has heart problems.
There may still be a hostage inside. So far, 3 of the hostages have been released. 3 suspects have been detained for questioning in the Sean Taylor murder case. 2 teenagers and a man in his 20s from Fort Myers, Florida, allegedly heard about Taylor's wealth and decided to burglarize his home, according to police.
You know, I spend a little time in the great county of Lee, in Lee County, Florida, Don.
Yes, right.
And I happen to play golf with a 65-year-old guy, like they say, out of my friend Bob. Bob Sharp, who is down there. And Bob informed me because he knows a lot of police officers down
there. I just
have
to wear a diaper.
He informed
me. For your 65-year-old
Thank you,
friend.
Bob. He's laughing at me.
I just have to wear a diaper.
If he's listening on the internet, he has to. And he informed me over a couple of beers one night in the county of Lee County, 20,000 outstanding warrants.
Wow.
In the county of Lee. Yeah. There's some bad guys down there.
2 teenage suspects in the Natalie Holloway case have been released on the orders of a judge. The boys were just arrested a week ago. Natalie's body still not been found.
How upside down is this goddamn thing as well? That you bring these Dutch boys in.
Right.
And you charge them, then you let them go, then you bring them back.
And the fact is, they're already, it's been well demonstrated that these guys are already slick enough where, you know, you've heard some of the transcripts of the conversations where they said, hey, we got this thing taken care of.
Right.
So they're slick enough that if they are the bad guys, you know, they're covering their tracks.
They're out of there. 2 of Michael Vick's dogfighting co-defendants this afternoon sentenced to prison to terms even longer than prosecutors recommended, but short of the maximum. One of the defendants got 18 months, the other 21. Vick went to prison on December 10th, hoping the judge would look favorably upon that when Vick reports for sentencing on Friday, December 14th.
You know, about Sean Taylor, we've talked a lot about him this week.
Right.
And you never know the whole thing.
Right.
You never know the whole thing. But now, 5 days later, if I take the cops at their word, I feel awful for this guy because if that's the case, that's just a guy sleeping in his bed with his family.
Right. Yeah, he's defending his property. He'd been broken in before, and he was going there. And I, you know what? And it also, if this holds true, speaks to what Andy Garcia said about his daughter. He was protecting my daughter, which is exactly what he was doing.
I offer you this, little man.
Run and hide.
Run and hide. hide.
Wouldn't you love to see him really do that in real life?
Sean Taylor's girlfriend, as we found out, Andy Taylor's
Andy,
niece.
Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia's niece.
Andy Taylor from Andy of Mayberry?
If only.
He was protecting that girl!
Andy Taylor.
All right. You proved your point. You broke into my vault. Congratulations. You're a dead man.
Maybe.
Maybe. May I ask how you expect to leave?
Do you believe I'm going to allow you to parade bags full of my money out my casino door?
No, you're going to carry it out for us.
Why would I do that?
Take a closer look at your monitor.
As your manager's probably reporting to you now, you have a little over $160 million in your vault tonight. You may notice we're only packing up about half that. The other half we're leaving in your vault, booby-trapped. As a hostage.
Ocean's 11 is so good. Ocean's 12 is so bad. And Ocean's 13 is so good.
Yeah.
You try and stop us. We'll blow both.
I realize I'm stating the obvious.
Ocean's 13 better to you than Ocean's 11. I liked Ocean's 13 better.
I like Ocean's 11 the best, then 13.
It's $80 million tonight secretly, or you can lose $100 million.
Then 12.
Publicly. It's your decision.
Anyway, you know, if it turns out that that's the case, whew, yeah. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with this country? Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, as always, we wait for the full story to come out.
Of course. The rest of the breaking news, motorcycle daredevil Evel Knievel died today of liver cancer at the age of 69. He'd been ill in recent years.
Wait, where's our tribute?
Evel's real name is Robert Craig Knievel Jr.
An American original, Buzz.
That's right.
A tribute now from the Don and Mike Show.
Amazing Grace.
Hi, this is Evel Knievel. I'm here in Washington, D.C. with my son, Robbie. Robbie, would you ever listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara? Neither would I.
Thank you, Evel. Safe home.
Also, this afternoon in Chicago today, an Amtrak train crashed with a freight train. 100 people were hurt, a half dozen of them critically. Most of the people on the train who were hurt, many of the most serious injuries were endured by Amtrak employees.
The biggest train wreck today was this show.
No, wrong. The latest on the writer's strike when we continue.
All right. Thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Suckle their knuckles. The Don and Mike Show.
Suck on that, losers.
Once again, here is our friend Guy Birdley. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, our TV nightmare continues. Here's your nightmare before Christmas. Despite the encouraging things we heard earlier this week about the negotiations between the writers and their bosses, it's not all sweetness and light. The writers have just rejected a new offer from the producers. The producers say it would have given the 12,000 writers another $130 million, they say. But the Writers Union says that after studying the proposal, it sees the new offer as the opposite of progress, calling it instead a massive rollback.
My son hit me to a website. Is it LateShowWritersOnStrike.com?
Yes. Right.
It's got a bunch of Howard stuff on it. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't mind mentioning that. I guess Howard Stern maybe has been booked as a guest. That's what he's saying whenever Letterman goes back on the air. Mm-hmm. But if you go to LateNightWriters.com on strike.
Late Show Writers.
Late Show Writers.
Late Show Writers on strike.com.
Yeah. They have funny little vignettes, funny little bits, and they've got a little taped piece with Edie Falco that's about 20 seconds long that's pretty funny.
Yeah, and that's kind of where you get some information as well, right?
Yes.
You're going to get the details on what's happening.
Buzz, right. Did you say 12,000 writers and 130 million?
I did. Okay. Now, that's the claim of the producers, and that hasn't been verified.
Yeah, but even at that rate,
I was thinking because
only
there
like
are,
10 grand a writer.
They're an S-load of writers.
Yeah. That's, I mean, 10 grand is, nowadays, that's enough to go on strike for? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, and then maybe that's where they get the rollback.
You mean enough to let them go on strike?
Right.
I mean that they are writers and not mathematicians, and they should think before they accept a deal.
You're right. They're not mathematicians. Today's the last paid day of work for the non-writing staff members of the late-night talk shows at NBC. No word on how Leno's handling it other than doling out holiday bonuses. Conan O'Brien, meanwhile, is paying his non-writing staff out of his own pocket. That's impressive since there are nearly 80 people on the staff. It's even better than Letterman at CBS, who's paying his non-writing staffs of both his show and Craig Ferguson's with money from his production company, Worldwide Pants.
See, that's why Letterman is smarter than Leno. Mm-hmm. When Letterman went to CBS, that was all part of the deal that he owns the show.
Right.
And I remember when I watched that HBO movie about Leno and Letterman.
Late Show.
Leno's whole thing was NBC thought that he was the sucker of all time because he was going to take a big salary, but he wasn't going to own any of the show.
Yeah, and he doesn't. And that's why he's screwed right now.
Right.
That was part of Dave's Johnny thing, wasn't it? They wanted to own it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Johnny owned it at the end, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes, he did.
And Wayne Newton was pissed at Johnny Carson last night on the Larry King show.
Can't wait to hear that.
We're going
to
hear that on Monday, right?
Good. Carson Daly, who's on NBC after Conan, is crossing the picket line Monday, so his non-writing staff will just keep getting paid while he uses jokes submitted by friends and strangers. Carson Daly, by the way, is the only late-night talk show host who is neither a writer nor a member of the Writers Union. The rest of them are union members.
Why does he even have a show?
Good question.
Well, I mean, even though he's not a member, it's kind of a scab move, right?
Oh, very much so.
I mean, you honor the picket line.
You do.
Right.
And actually, he's kind of the canary in the cave for the rest of the talk show hosts. It's made it very clear. You remember, we were talking at some point that they might have to go back to work at some point.
Right.
I think they're less likely to do so, at least at this stage now, especially when they've seen the reaction to Carson Daly's.
And aren't all of them, Leno, Letterman, Jimmy Kimmel, Craig Ferguson, all these, aren't they all working together as one?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they want to, when they do come back, they had talked about December 10th. I don't know now. I am doubtful about that.
But they
have talked about the fact that they would all come back together.
I thought it was a steam room.
It's a magical treehouse.
No, it's a treehouse.
Okay.
If you still miss Roebuck, you're really going to miss Sears. Sales are down at Sears more than 5%, and Sears profits, listen to this, I've never heard of this before, Sears profits dropped 99% in the quarter just ended.
I find that hard to believe. I bought everyone's gift this year at Sears.
Oh, Craftsman Tools.
Mind reader Bob Vila.
I can't wait to get my wrench set again.
You know, why is Sears doing so bad? Because it seems to me that for a while they had picked it up, and they had some momentum going, and they had...
Well, the whole Extreme Makeover Home Edition, you with that Ty Pennington guy, I mean, that was... I thought they were getting great exposure for their company.
Have you seen sprinkled around any of the little Sears stores?
Yeah.
They're about as big as a 7-Eleven.
Those have been around for the longest time, where it looks like a dollar store.
Yes.
In one of those itsy bitsy little mini malls, shopping malls, and you pull in, and they, like, have a dryer and a washer, and they say, you can buy them, but, like, we don't have them here in the store.
Yeah, you can come in and shop in our catalog.
It should be like a false front dryer, like a fake television when you go to IKEA.
Easy to fit in the car.
Exactly.
Some of those are old Kmart stores, and experts say that Sears, which merged with Kmart 2 years ago, is now in what experts are calling a death spiral.
I know a guy. We've had him on the show before. Shotgun Mark Rivers. Scott was a friend of mine when he was coming up in radio. He would go to furniture stores and would buy the fake items, the plastic TV, the plastic stereo.
Yeah.
He would put them in his apartment to make it look like he had stuff.
That is delightfully sad.
And you've seen they have the fake high-def ones now you could get.
Oh, I'm talking about this was you know, 25 years ago.
They're still doing it, only now with widescreen.
I used to do it with fake people.
Oh, like in The Lonely Guy.
Yeah, only holidays, though, Thanksgiving. You know, I did that because I couldn't afford corpses.
I'll get you a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Sears stock dropped another 13% on all this news, down to $16 a share. Murder in Kansas. At Thanksgiving dinner, 18-year-old Emily Sander told her parents and her boyfriend the truth, that in addition to being a community college student, she was also an internet porn model who went by the name Zoe Zane. She revealed this at Thanksgiving dinner.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
And popular, too, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, popular on the internet.
Oh, Zoe Zing.
Zoe Zane.
Oh, you know, Zoe Zane.
Zoe Zane.
Zoe Zane.
Emily's parents did not take the news well at Thanksgiving dinner. Neither did her boyfriend. He broke up with her on the spot, and then Emily just disappeared.
Just listen, and we're going to break off a little something-something.
Yeah, Emily.
Now, her body has been found alongside a road not far from Wichita, and her death...
Very inappropriate, amigo.
Death does not appear to be connected to her brief career of posing for nude pictures. The night after Thanksgiving, Emily went to a bar, met a 24-year-old man, and went back to his motel room. Police later found that room soaked in blood, and later still found her body along the side of a road.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
Police are now looking for that 24-year-old man and his pregnant 16-year-old girlfriend.
Get Grissom. That's all I have to say. Get Grissom on it.
Somebody call Lifetime. I smell a movie of the week.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone called Jacqueline Smith. Oh, who was it that I saw in an ad?
Jacqueline Smith in the Zoe Zane story.
I saw Molly Shannon in an ad for a Lifetime movie, and I thought, I'm no big Molly Shannon fan.
Right.
But how sad that she doesn't even try to do funny stuff anymore. That now she's just doing the stuff where she's the soccer mom who's got the cheating husband.
Oh, so it's like one of those serious Lifetime movies?
Yeah.
Well, pretty soon they'll start rolling out the ones where some woman needs to be taught the meaning of Christmas. And they'll get five or six of those in before the holiday.
Man, Molly Shannon. Not a piece of ass.
She was funny when she would smell her armpits, though.
Yeah. The cheerleader?
Put her hands on her armpits.
She wasn't the cheerleader, right? She was the schoolgirl.
Like the nerd
girl. Yeah, but
girl.
She would dance. Mary Catherine Gallagher.
That's right.
Superstar.
The airport security people want airline passengers to start providing more information before flying. As it is now, you only need to give your last name and first initial. The Transportation Security Agency wants your full name, your gender, and your date of birth when you make your reservation. The airlines and travel agents believe this is a stupid idea. With 700 million passengers a year, they say this is just going to slow everything down, make everything more complicated, and that the information they'd be forced to gather is absolutely worthless. Quoting United, seeking useless data carries an unacceptably high price tag. TSA says it thinks the plan will speed up airport security and prevent people from being misidentified as terror suspects.
And speaking of that, as I was walking through Dulles Airport last weekend, I would simply like to say a greeting to everybody that was working for TSA. Back working for TSA again.
Good. Welcome back.
Welcome home.
Pope Benedict lashed out at atheism yesterday, blaming it for some of history's, and I quote,
"Let's get our Christ on. Let's kick it Jesus style.
Greatest cruelty.
Y'all want to walk with the ultimate rebel? Right? The ultimate CEO?
Yep.
Biggest celebrity of them all?
Yep.
Who's down with G-O-D?
The Pope blamed atheism for some of history's greatest cruelty and violations of justice.
Well, there's no question about it, and I'd like everybody to know that my comments were in no way directed towards the general atheist community. They were directed at one Buzz Burbank.
Buzz Burbank.
Thanks, Pope.
That's right.
He wasn't talking about the Crusades. He was talking about the likes of Karl Marx, who believed it was up to people to make a better world.
Yes, Karl Marx and Buzz Burbank.
Not some god.
He was one of the best Marx brothers.
He was wonderful. Almost as good as Zeppo.
No Groucho.
He was one with a cigar, right?
Unfortunately, Karl also gave us communism, which didn't work out so well. The Pope is apparently aware of the best-selling books God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens and The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins, both of which have made atheism a hot topic.
You have all those books on Books for Tape, don't you?
Not all of them, no.
Yes, you're a naughty, dirty atheist, responsible for a lot of death.
Buzz,
thank you.
Buzz Marks.
Some of those things are true. So Pope Benedict argues in his second encyclical that without God, there is no hope. He says you won't find that hope in technology, money, or politics.
You better mind your P's and Q's and change your ways, Pope.
Then did he do any hocus pocus with his magic smoking pot?
I certainly did. Yes, sirree. I'm going to put that smoke on you, old big of head.
And then what about those red pointy Armani shoes you wear?
I'm wearing red loafers. They're designer loafers. And I also like to collect pictures of kittens.
The believers have dropped off some cats.
Ah, yes, I love little kittens. Tell them the full-grown ones should be put back in the car. I only want the baby kittens.
And the orange soda will be up in a moment.
Fanta!
I find all of your comments disrespectful.
The Pope likes pussy cats.
I do indeed. I like pictures of them. I like photographs of them. I like little porcelain statues of them. And I also like to collect them.
And you like hocus pocus.
I like hocus pocus.
May I see your sex passport, please? That's our story when we continue.
Sex passport.
You're wound up today, aren't you, Buzz?
I am.
Yeah, sex passport.
Big day for
Christ,
me.
Christ, you are wound up.
Yeah.
Let me hear something that's really sexual.
At least I have the outfits to look like a cowgirl, right?
Oh. That's Holly Morris.
Holly Morris wearing the chaps with nothing else.
Holly Morris and the knife thrower.
Yeah, Cowboy Christmas today.
That's the wrong tape.
It's a Bantam book.
Sorry, that's the wrong tape.
It's never the wrong tape.
I think it was a helmet. Caught me right in the elbow and sort of. I had similar injury last year. I got hit right on the nerve.
No, that's my man Brett. That's not it either.
Also well, sexy.
Maybe I don't have the tape.
I don't care about Christmas.
that's
Shrek.
Either. It is.
Hold on a second.
Kids love it.
Where is the tape I'm looking for?
We're cougars. Hot older ladies pouncing on their young prey.
Is that the sex tape?
No.
Ah, phooey with all your sunshine and lollipops. Where I come from, Christmas is a nightmare.
One more, though, because I just can't find it.
If you think I'm going to give you a present now, you are sadly mistaken.
Somebody enjoyed Shrek's Christmas show.
Somebody's had to watch it five times.
All right. Well.
Some people can't help being annoying.
Well, I don't have the sex tapes.
What was next, Buzz?
Safe sex passport.
Sex, right? This is where we look for the tapes. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi there, everybody.
WJFK.
Or this one.
The Don and Mike Show.
Rude, thoughtless little pigs. Don and Mike.
Oh, man, now I'm all emotional.
Hi there, Buzz Girdley, Johnny, Ringo, Michael J. Cocksmith, Elston, what's happening?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Updating a couple of stories since we began this little affair. The police in New Hampshire have a suspect in custody in the Hillary Clinton campaign headquarters hostage standoff.
Oh, good.
The guy had up to five people hostage throughout the day, saying that he had a bomb strapped to his chest. That part was never confirmed, but apparently it's all been resolved peacefully. That's the good news.
Good, good.
And also updating that Amtrak crash in Chicago. Initial reports said 100 people were injured. There were 200 people on the train. The injuries are now down to only 19 people being taken to the hospital, but five of them are Amtrak employees who are in critical condition. The other 14 are passengers who are in serious condition. That's the latest on those two stories. Now, a safe sex passport? A Florida bio lab is going to start selling them tomorrow, which is also World AIDS Day. You purchase your card online after you're tested for the big five: HIV, syphilis, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and herpes.
You know, that's almost like the food groups.
It's the food pyramid. Do a pyramid, couldn't they? The card has a phone number for your new friend to call to get your test results and the date of your last test.
What's the number?
I don't have the number. It's on the. You get it on the card.
Man, once again, easy times for single people.
Yeah, isn't it? The company will also provide you with an electronic health certificate with all that same information that you can print or post on your MySpace page. 15,000 people have already signed up. Most of them single folks.
Welcome, baby. Come join the hottest backdoor party.
I like to get bent over.
Oh, my.
You're going to need a card for that.
There's the phone number.
15,000 people have already signed up. Most of them single folks between the ages of 27 and 47. You have to be 18 or older to apply for your safe sex passport.
Can I get a card if I test okay for four of them?
Yeah, actually, it'll tell which ones you passed and which ones you
didn't.
They
use gold stars.
Well, I just, you know, chlamydia. That's a sticky widget.
You've never been able to shake that one.
On whose chart are we going by? Because as far as I'm concerned, I don't really have it.
I never understand, though.
You've always had it.
That's how I got the job. I know. But I have been in remission for almost 60
remission.
Hours.
And I got news for you. If he's got it, we got it.
We all got it.
Yeah, it was all part of the initiation.
It's mostly illegal to manufacture anything in America that contains asbestos. Without question, breathing little specks of it causes cancer.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. But the government doesn't test products for asbestos anymore. These days, there's only one group testing products to make sure they're asbestos-free, the Asbestos Disease Awareness Organization. That's a group of victims and their families spending over $100,000 to do this testing.
Asbestos.
They found asbestos in a toy called the CSI Fingerprint Kit.
I've seen that.
Oh, I think we railed on these things when the toy came out. It was like, what little kid, what five-year-old kid is going to say, okay, this is a blood smear.
Right.
This is a rape kit. This is a fingerprint kit.
CBS Products says it will run its own tests and get back to us. This toy and some others on the asbestos list made in China. Also on the list, Scotch High Performance Duct Tape, which is manufactured in Canada.
My weekend.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to set them all free now.
3M denies that accusation. And finally, in Chile, a big telethon's underway for handicapped kids. Chile.
Is that near Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii.
Yes, it is.
And what's that other small country?
Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, all right, very good.
A big telethon's underway in Chile for handicapped kids. So moved was high-class hooker Maria Carolina. She's donated 27 hours of her services. Let's see that toad board.
Let's bring out the hooker, Ed.
Jerry?
She donated money to the kids. I gave her $1,000.
She's got chlamydia, Jerry.
The charity said no thanks, but Maria's determined. Quoting her, I'm going to contribute my work to a purpose that touches me deeply. Oh. In Thailand, a candidate in next month's election there has been handing out Viagra to elderly voters. That is a huge violation of Thailand's very strict laws. Candidates aren't even allowed to give out T-shirts, and any voter who accepts a candidate's gift faces up to 10 years in prison.
What about the vagina?
One thing's for certain, Thailand's election's going to last longer than 4 hours.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Oh.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No.
I would hit you with a tie stick if I had one.
I think we all need a tie stick today.
Hey, what happened to the music?
What happened?
Hey.
One moment, please.
What happened to my beautiful music there?
The problem is not with your set.
It was rolling along, and then it's gone.
And you know what?
And it's dead.
It's that machine, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
It's that machine. Yep. Okay, hold on.
Buzz, are you doing the sound of wind?
Yes.
Winter approaches. Winter approaches
Mike,
us.
It's funny that you mention wind.
Mm-hmm. I just did.
Oh, windy.
I used to play this every day, of course, when I worked at WNDE in Indianapolis.
Windy. Everybody knows it's windy.
You don't think this made me want to blow my head off every day? Hey, it's windy in Indy. Key Rice Sakes.
Wow.
All right, have a safe weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday. Good day to you, sir.
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 And head.
Mike, enjoy your fruitcake with Peter North.
I'm taking it home right now with Ron Jeremy.
Bye, Hughes! Don't call me!
Hey, we've moved past it.
See you Monday, Al.
This is the Don and Mike Show.